cave your head in with a friggin' spade shovel.
The show's going bad fast.
Nothing says hot like a episiotomy.
That was O&A quality stuff.
Opie and Anthony. An acquired taste. Like roadkill.
Disease may have reduced his bellow to a whisper, but Muhammad Ali's mouth can still get him in trouble. The 59-year-old former heavyweight champ stunned a gathering in Washington when he let loose with jokes guaranteed to offend just about everybody.
Oh, equal opportunity offender.
This was an actual joke that Ali said to a crowded room.
This guy, you know, let's do it as Ali, because I won't be able to
well,
do it.
The funniest part is he can get away with anything. He's so pathetic now.
They had the premiere for his big movie there, Ali, with who's playing him?
Will Smith.
Will Smith. And there's Muhammad Ali walking into the movie there, and they're all like, Ali, Ali, the paparazzi, give us a pose. I saw a guy turn around and start laughing his ass off, like he looked at Ali and then had to turn around because he was laughing, because Ali's trying to make it look like a boxer, so holding hands up in the ass. Ooh, I guess you could say I float like a eye beam, I sting like a cotton ball.
And he's got his arms, he can't even hold him steady. And this guy, this little munchkin guy walking him around, it's sad, because the guy used to be, I'll go get you, Joe Frazier, I'll get you, Joe. And now, Joe who?
You know his brain is still there, though.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, he just can't communicate what he's thinking.
I still believe it's from the decon fog on pesticide.
So he's in a crowded room in Washington, and he decides to tell a couple jokes.
Here's his first joke.
This is the God's honest truth. Go ahead, as Ali.
What's the difference between a Jew and a canoe? A canoe tips.
Probably one of the more classic of the anti-Semitical jokes.
So he says this in a crowded room. The crowd, which included a number of Jewish people, including Ali actor Ron Silver, laughed nervously.
Nervously.
But Ali wasn't thrilled. Here was his next joke.
A black, a Puerto Rican, and a Mexican in a car. Who's driving? The police.
And it says, blacks and Hispanics in the crowd also paid Ali the courtesy of laughing.
The courtesy.
The Washington Post, Lloyd Grove, who was at the party, reports that Ali's fourth wife, Lonnie, tried to head off his routine as he took the mic, pleading, no, 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 don't.
No!
Ali's rep admitted his humor was politically incorrect, but argued, these are not new jokes.
Oh.
Muhammad tells...
I understand the struggle.
Muhammad...
Old jokes.
Tells them all the time because he likes to make people laugh.
I know, Ali.
And he shocks people to make a point. He always manages to defuse any situation that seems overly reverential. Reverential. Yeah. R? Okay. Following the film, everybody was paying tribute to him, and he was in a good mood. By the way, the premiere was a fundraiser for blah, 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 blah,
yeah.
blah.
You want to buy a dryer, doll? I owe my daughter money and I'm dodging her. I know the struggle.
Well, the politically incorrect jokes. I don't know. He's a guy that could get away with it, though.
Oh, yeah.
You know, the Grease man. He didn't really tell a joke, but, you know, a little off-color remark there, and that's it.
Yeah, well,
hey,
Ellie.
Yeah.
Yeah, you did
Let
some
me
other...
take the stage again.
Well, you were going to do some more jokes, but they yanked you off the stage.
What?
And we have a national radio show here. Would you like to try some of your other jokes out on the people?
A black guy walks into a bar with a parrot on his head. Bartender asks, where'd you get that? The parrot said, Africa, they're everywhere. I am the gravest.
Oh, God.
What do you call crime fighting in Harlem?
What?
Abortions.
What?
Abortions.
How's your Mercedes running?
It's brand new. It's only got 100,000 miles on.
Yeah.
You notice there are no black people in the Jetsons? The future looks bright. The future looks bright.
I didn't even understand the setup, Allie.
How do you fix a woman's watch?
How?
You don't. There's a clock on the oven. Why is Stevie Wonder smiling all the time?
Why?
He doesn't know he's black.
Wow, they really like that one, Allie.
What do you call a pimple on an Italian?
What?
A grease fitting. Black people have flat noses. Oh, wait, we heard that one.
Yeah, we heard that earlier.
Yeah. Why don't Italians have freckles?
Why?
They all slide off. Why did the Polish mother teach her son which way to put on his underwear?
How?
Yeah, yellow in the front, brown in the back. I got a million of them. I got a million of them. Hey, what do you get when you cross an Italian and a Polack?
Huh.
The guy make you an offer he can't understand. Hey, what does a black man get for Christmas?
What does a black man get for Christmas?
Your bicycle. What's white with a black a-hole?
What?
The A-team. The big yellow one's the sun.
No, that's Brian Regan's
bit. Big yellow
that's one. Brian Regan's bit, Muhammad.
What did you... Did you hear about the new black French restaurant?
No, I did not.
It's called Chez What? What did Lincoln say after a five-day drunk? I freed the who? What's the definition of black foreplay?
Huh, what?
Don't scream or I'll kill you. How does an Italian girl save their legs?
What? I didn't... I didn't understand
how
that.
How does an Italian girl shave their legs?
Oh, shave.
They lay down outside and have someone mow them. There's decom fog on. How do you stop a black baby from crying? Oh, this old gag.
No. Let's yank out Muhammad off the stage. No.
What?
No.
What? Pope said, Pope wrote C word.
No, that's Otto and George's joke.
Get in the coffin.
No, that's Otto and George.
What did the two Jews say to each other?
Huh.
If we walk 2 more miles, we have all the oil. I know the struggle. What do you call a black man with no arms?
What?
Trustworthy.
What? Muhammad.
But he's all, you know, but I am the gravest. Where's Smolder and Joe Frazier? What do you say to a black man wearing a suit?
Oh, what?
Will the defendant please rise?
Thank God you're black, Muhammad.
Yes, I'm black. Boy, you're noticing an inordinate amount of black jokes. How do you get a one-armed Pollock out of a tree?
How?
You wave at him.
All right, well, look at that. Thank you, Muhammad.
Thank you. It depends on how thin you slice them.
No, don't just start doing the punchlines, man.
What's the difference between Batman and a black man?
What?
Batman can go to the store without robbing. They have to pick cotton to get to him.
No, Muhammad.
What? Because they're Negroes.
No. Man.
What's that? So birds don't crap on their lips.
No, Muhammad.
What's that?
Thank you, Muhammad.
Eventually, crap turns white and stops stinking.
No, thank you.
What's the problem?
Thank you.
I seem to forgot some of the beginning of the. Yes.
Thank you.
Yes, good. Your F and the A, and then wipe your D on the curtain. Nothing you already told her twice.
All right, thank you.
Yes. Two in the front, two in the back, 6 million in the ashtray. Tell Mexican kids they're a piñata. They'll stick like Velcro to the ceiling.
You're awful, man.
Crime prevention.
No.
From the pepper spray.
No.
Behind the eyepiece of your rifle. Oh, Father's Day. A tycoon. So they don't bite their fingers when eating Tootsie Rolls.
We'll be back with the Opie and Anthony show. Stay there.
Coming this spring.
On the Opie and Anthony show.
Bikini Softball 2, The Return of WOW, Jim Norton's World Tour, Sex for Sam, WOW Stuff, all coming this spring on the Opie and Anthony Show.
Opie and Anthony,
1027 WNEW.
Are you ready for middle school confession?
Yeah, I'm trying to find it on their website.
By the way, Adam Ferrara in the studio.
How are you?
All right, we have 12 clips, Anthony, from middle school confessions. This was a show that was on HBO, what, last night?
Last night, HBO.
It debuted on HBO. They'll run it another 10 times, don't worry.
I can't find it on their website.
Well, it's a little saucy.
It's quite racy.
And
if
saucy.
I must say.
Saucy,
saucy, you think?
Bit risque.
It's very risque. And I'm amazed that these moms would allow HBO to film their slutty daughters in middle school.
Yeah. If someone had to sign a release for that.
I didn't understand that myself watching the tape. The host, Samuel L. Jackson. Which is a little funny.
Really?
Yeah, he's talking about middle school kids having sex. Which one's yours?
It's the one that says bad mother.
Costco. His wallet. Hey, that guy. Get my wallet out of there, Ringo. It's the one that says bad mother. Yeah, so this is a show, kind of an expose on middle school kids. What was that? Anywhere from 12 to 14 years old. Talking about sex.
Talking about getting hummers.
Drinking and what they do.
Talking about digits.
Digitally manipulated.
And we don't mean
by
math.
Boyfriends.
Right.
And one girl with the braces, the slutty girl. And the other girl talking about how she's pure, let's just say, in every sense except the mouth.
Same girl.
Same girl.
Braces
yeah,
girl?
Big face full of braces. And she's just going to town. Going to town. And then the parents are talking. And talking about how their kids, they don't know what their kids are doing. And then there it is. And you put this on HBO, you know these kids are going to go back to school. And hey, hey, you're the BJ girl from the HBO show.
They don't tell you what schools they attend, do they?
No, Norton. And thank God they don't.
Well, they did tell us one school.
Yeah, that was the gay kid.
The gay middle school in Bellport.
Uh-huh.
That Stinky went to.
Yeah. Stinky went to that school.
Stinky went to the gay...
I knew it!
The gay middle school.
It's right around the corner from his house.
So what? Oh, my God. A gay kid came out of there. So what does that mean?
I don't know. Look,
the school's gay?
Was at one point. There's a pattern developing here.
Let's get Stinky in here for a sec.
Stinky, you went to that gay school?
You went to the gay middle school.
Everyone's gay at that school.
I couldn't believe it. I didn't see it, but...
Yeah.
Was anyone gay when you were in middle school?
Of course.
You know, we were middle school.
No, but you don't... Gay people in school all the time. Ones you know, ones you don't know.
But when I was
knew kids in middle school that were gay? I didn't know them as far as, like...
But you knew they were gay.
Oh, absolutely. You didn't see kids that walk down the hall and you go, that kid's gay.
Yeah.
Whether he knows it yet or not.
He doesn't. He's a choreographer.
Right.
He's a
they usually, they help out in the plays.
Yeah, they help out in the plays.
But they're not acting in it. They're doing the, you know, and one, two, step two, turn two, step
right.
two.
And I didn't even know in high school who was gay. Swear to you. I could say, well, a couple of the theater guys, maybe, but
exactly.
I didn't know for sure.
That's what I'm talking about.
You knew for sure people. You knew for sure kids in middle school that were gay.
Yeah,
because
yeah.
you saw them.
They acted. What do you call gay?
Well, Ant, did you say one of those kids, like when you were young or something, hit on you or something?
Oh, that was in California,
and that was what junior year.
Yeah.
So
yeah, yeah.
Gay. Did he give you a mouthful of treat? Did he?
Didn't get
to that, Jimmy. Get a good one. Come on up, get a good one.
Get a good one.
Yeah, now there were kids in school that you knew.
You just saw
middle school, and you're like, the kid's gay. Yeah. Uh huh. Absolutely.
No clue.
Yeah, well, you got to be a little observant.
They were usually very neat.
Yeah. Right.
Tiny people.
Well, very, very friendly with some of the teachers.
Mm-hmm.
Well-dressed. Like that. Well-dressed. Mm-hmm.
Tastefully
right.
appointed.
Right. They would talk about things that the rest of the kids didn't talk about.
Yes.
You know, Broadway
That's
and whatnot.
Good. The graffiti on the notebook was like,
there's a kid
cat.
Knew everything about, right, Broadway.
If you were
Pippin.
If you were in the play Bye Bye Birdie, does that mean you were gay?
Depends on what you were doing.
Were you the birdie?
You were playing the girls. If you were playing some of the Bobby Soxers,
I was,
I'd say you were a little gay.
I sang a little.
Did you?
Really?
I was one of the singing teenagers there.
What kind of an abomination play was that? That they got Opie singing it.
Were you really? Did they give your little blonde locks a tussle?
I was one of the singers there.
Yeah?
Really?
And I can't carry a tune.
In the chorus?
Yeah,
we were in the chorus.
We had to sit in
the chorus in the band.
And work out the songs and stuff.
Uh-huh. All right.
I had to sing and make believe I was on, you know, a telephone at the same time.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
No, that's not even remotely gay. No, it's very masculine.
Yeah.
Well, fine.
Yeah.
Did you live with Paul Lynn for a couple of years?
Oh, we got a clip of Opie on the phone at that time.
How's that for a topper? Bye-bye, Birdie.
Why is Stinky off the hook? He was gay in middle school.
He grew out of it.
Feelings all alone in the moonlight.
Stinky went to the gay school. The gay middle school.
That's featured on the HBO.
Yeah, so now these kids are back at school, and now
everyone is discovering them as the, you know, the
People from the BJ girl, the BJ or the gay guy.
You know, all the teachers saw that. And
yeah. And then they show the parents. They had a whole group where of parents that were in this, went into the middle school at night, I guess, with a sex education teacher. And the sex ed teacher is talking to them.
When was the last time she had sex?
I know. Did you see her? She looked like a guy from the gay school. And she's sitting there and talking to these parents and saying things like, what would be acceptable sexual behavior for your children at this age? And then you get, like, the parent of the daughter that was given the Hummers is like, French kissing, like saying little things. It's like, nah. How about deep throating? Because that's what your gal is doing.
Brushing your teeth with a
Oh, wow! <no! laughs> Wait, you can't say that, Opie. Brushing your teeth with that. No.
I'm sorry.
You can't say that.
Did you learn that in the play?
Was that a portion of Bye Bye Birdie?
Easy.
So we got some clips from middle school confessions.
The best part of the group meeting, though, quickly, with the sex ed teacher between the parents, the men. The fathers sitting there as they're asking these questions. It's just like, I'm not hearing you, la, 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 la. Because what guy, because the second she starts talking about, do you know there are students in this school practicing oral this, that, the other thing, blah, blah, blah. What, I can't say that? I can't say it?
Just say oral.
Okay. Practicing, doing oral. Please, like that matters. Ugh, you bunch of Yeah, I'm sorry. I had a curse right there. I get so upset.
Dump it out like
with
crazy.
What we have to say.
Well, you got
to
protect the kids.
I know.
Exactly.
I guess
we
could say
they're innocent.
We can say oral, but we can't say oral.
Don't
blank.
Say that.
Yeah.
And yeah, you certainly can't say what Ann said.
No,
you can't say it, but
no.
If you go to middle school, you can experience it.
You can do it, right.
Yeah.
So the fathers are just, they're getting these discussions, and you know they're just the images conjured up of their lovely little young gals doing this.
When they interviewed the parents, did they know what the kids have said, or they just
Some of them kind of had an inkling because of notes they found in their clothing and stuff like that, but I don't think they knew until this special that, you know, the brace-faced chick is hoffing like crazy.
Oh, God.
And the other one, the 12-year-old that was getting the manipulation by the boyfriend, and she was horrified. She's like, I found out because some anonymous twat sent her a note that ratted out the daughter. And she's like, I got nauseous.
Yeah, what a
And I got very nervous. And then when my daughter got home, I addressed her. I gave her the note, and she said, it's true.
Oh.
So there's your little girl.
Daddy's little girl.
What a tattletale that friend
is. I know.
Mind your beeswax.
God. Isn't that awful?
Yeah.
Somebody, it was, the note started, it takes a village. So.
What?
Meaning that it takes everyone in the community to make sure everyone turns out okay. You know, that Hillary Clinton bull crap that she was spreading.
My daughter got manipulated. Now I'm dodging her.
Now I'm dodging her.
Oh, God.
I'll be in Cleveland handing out bumper stickers. Buffer and succotash. I'm boss. Hey, Rabbit, you want to buy a dryer? Door.
So, is the setup good? Can we get to the clips?
Oh, yeah, yeah, we do have clips. So
I believe this girl that you're about to hear is 12 or 13 years old, Anthony.
Oh, yeah?
12 or 13, right?
All right.
13.
Tender age of 13.
One of... Oh, geez.
Oh, Norton, no pointing.
I'm ready.
All right, here it is from HBO Middle School Confessions.
At parties, while I'm drinking and I'm having fun, I think I engage in more sexual things than I would normally. Sometimes I get really wild. Those were probably the most times that I've been taken advantage of by guys. I have woken up in the morning and just been like, I can't believe I did that.
What's all that yelling in the back?
That party that they're at.
Oh. Yeah, they're at a party where it's nothing but
kids.
What
were these parties when I was 12 and 13?
You know something?
Where are they now?
Nothing but kids groping each other. This HBO thing, they had a camera around with 13-year-old kids just groping each other, making out, copping feels. That one drunk girl on the couch clip. There's a couple of guys sitting on the couch. This drunk chick, her head falls right into his lap. She rolls over. You just see her eyes going, cuckoo, cuckoo, in her head. She smashed.
Smashed at 12, 13?
Yeah. And this girl talking, you heard what she just said. That's any hose bag anyone's ever known in their life. And now instead of just maybe a few people in that school knowing, the country knows. Because she said, you know, I got a party, I get a little drunk, I wake up and go, who, what did I do? Who don't know a hose bag like that?
Isn't this great news, too, all you soccer mom twats? It's happening to your kids.
Yeah, this, believe me.
Drinking out of mules left and right.
This.
Oh, O&A are bad people. Don't let them listen to that. Watch out for the video games and they're blah, 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 blah. Good for you, involved parents.
Oh, you know something? You bring up a great point because this wasn't some inner city school with kids that were being neglected by their parents. This was all middle to upper class white kids going to parties at these nice houses of their friends and stuff and just hobnob.
Nice village you live in.
They're saying that, and you know something? Even the slut ones are virgins. They're saying, you know, hey, I didn't give that up. You know, that's like a way to rationalize it. They don't give that up.
That would be wrong.
But, I mean, more icing than a strudel cake on their face on any given night.
I think intercourse is wrong, but I would rather, you know, gobble love snot. That's
right.
Fine.
That's it.
That's a treat.
That's what they're doing.
Because they can't tell them no to parents. Well, I want to have communication with my... And they don't tell them no. And I'm glad they don't tell them no. The more kids that do this, the happier I am. I love it when these stupid parents are... That's why sitcoms suck. Because I have to hear about your kids and what they're going to hear.
Right.
And I love what they're doing behind your dumb soccer backs.
Except for the job, Adam.
No,
the
that's
job.
Not a sitcom. I don't count that as a sitcom.
That's a dramedy on at 9:30 this evening on Channel 7.
Yeah, right.
It's a drama. That's drama and comedy.
That's not like a bunch of cutesy little dialogue. Like, uh-oh, look what Schwimmer throwing. This stupid underdog.
We would have the 12-year-olds on the show.
Hey, Matt's a teacher. Matt, you're next on the Opie and Anthony show.
I'm a 7th grade teacher, Uncle Alan, and I am not surprised about any of this at all.
What grade you teach?
It doesn't matter.
Seventh
or so? All right.
Seventh grade. They're 12 years old. And the stuff they talk about in the hallways, guys, it blows my mind away.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm 25, and when I was in seventh grade, all I cared about was, like, baseball and the Atari Warriors on Nintendo.
No, I'm not going to go that far because, obviously, everyone was very, very, you wanted to have sex at that age. You're in middle school, and it's raging hormones, which they mentioned, and you wanted to have it. But you know something?
It wasn't there.
It wasn't as easy.
No.
Oh, some people were getting it. That's fine, you know, and you'd pick and choose and get some stuff here and there. It's part of growing up.
I had nothing to pick and choose from.
But these parties that they were showing on this HBO special, where they're drinking manipulating each other.
Dude, I lived four houses away from my middle school when I was in, like, seventh, eighth grade. On lunch break, because I had a Rolodex going all day, I would run home on lunch break, scrap, and then run back and feel guilty like all the other kids know what I just did.
You'd scrap.
Yeah.
That is great. Scrap.
Yeah.
Scrap.
I'd go home and I would go back and feel like the other kids all knew what I just did, but I would look and think of all the heinies I saw.
Filthy guy.
You.
Filthy.
Hey, you want to hear another clip from middle school confessions?
Yes.
We got plenty of these. All right, blah, blah, blah. Check this out.
We hadn't been going out very long. I mean, it was sort of my first time. We were over at her house with, like, a whole group, and we were in a bedroom alone together. So things just got kind of out of control, and we were making out and stuff, and he ended up going down my pants. At first, I told him not to because I didn't want to, but he did it anyway, and, you know, it did feel good, and I did enjoy it.
Oh. By the way, the girl you just heard, 12 years old.
12.
What? 12.
12.
Psycho Mark. What? Where is she? What's her number? 12. Talking about going to parties, get in the room. Now, this is stuff I absolutely recall happening at parties 15, 16, that age, you know?
Mm-hmm.
You're going to the party, you're doing that. 12?
Yeah, no.
At 12, I distinctly remember a great day was a Bic lighter and Plastic Army Men in the woods.
Right.
or a magnifying glass and an anthill.
And some bugs.
Sure. We got to get Nick on the line here. Nick, you're next on the Opie and Anthony Show. What do you got?
What's going on, boys?
Hey, man.
How's it going, buddy? I got a brother who's in middle school, and a couple weekends he's asked me to pick him up liquor. He comes home the next day after sleeping over buddy's house. He's got better stories than I do on a weekend.
Yeah, right? See?
And there were always girls that would do this in certain schools or anything, but they were the ones with the bad rep. The rumors of the girl would be like that, and it wouldn't be a lot of girls. Now it just seems, oh, my God, this is the... If you could get a Hummer in junior high, you would have been king of the junior high.
And you would have to tell everyone. Because there's one girl, I think we're going to have her clip in a little bit. She was surprised that the guy told everybody else at school.
Things changed. Things flip-flopped. Because I remember it was a lot easier to get laid than it was to get a Hummer back in the day.
When I was 12, I didn't even know they would do that. Forget about even getting it.
Yeah, I didn't. I didn't know that was. I didn't know that was part of.
You didn't know that was possible.
I didn't know that was one of the.
I was looking at hardcore
pornography.
I knew there was a world out there.
Yeah, exactly. 8 years old. I'm looking at hardcore.
But you'd find it in the woods, and it was rained on, and
with the color pages. It was like all smutty black and white pictures, and then in the middle there were maybe six color pages with just nasty hardcore C shots all over the face and everything, right?
I used to steal Wee magazine. This is seventh grade.
Three.
Yeah,
yes,
Wee and Penthouse out of a machine. I would take a screwdriver and jimmy the machine and steal it and just go home and arc them all over myself. You guys are acting like, what? I mean, they was kissing in high school? What are you talking about?
Those are the days you'd get a good magazine, you'd go once, and then follow it up right away.
Pia Zadora.
Keep going. Oh, the Pia Zadora issue in the bathtub. Weeb.
I don't remember.
Oh, yeah. I remember the bathtub.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, sure.
Pia Zadora.
Sure. Kevin from D.C. I don't know if this is true. Kevin?
Hey, O&A, man.
What's up,
Morton?
Hey, sir.
Hey, I swear to God, guys, this is true. It's about a year ago. Kid was 14 years old, like a white suburban middle school in like the suburbs of D.C. This kid was running a little prostitution ring out of his high school. He had a handful of
high
girls.
High school?
Or middle school. 14 years old. So what, about 8th grade or whatever?
Yeah, there you go.
Swear to God, he was running this prostitution ring. He had about 10 girls, I guess.
Because I could see how kids that age would think it was cool and kind of fun and kinky and something you're not supposed to do.
How much was he asking to see somebody?
Norton
loves these quotes.
Make sure they have a feminine back. It's a large back for a gal.
How you doing? We got our pleasure menu. I'd like to see it. The girls do enjoy tipping.
All right. Want to hear
Froy from Jersey? He's saying, at 12, didn't party mean you were going to the roller rink for someone's birthday and ice cream cake?
Hell yeah.
Now partying is...
Right, here's another clip from middle school confession.
All right.
I think this is another 12 or 13-year-old, right?
12.
Right. I think, personally, the sexual things that you could do is, like, have a guy f*** you... And you, like, maybe, like, give him a handy. And, like, I think, like, it's okay, like, if, like, he fills you up and you guys, like, make out. Now, like, at this age. But I just don't think it's okay, like, to go, like, all the way.
See, there's the rationale that was never in place when I was in school. It's perfectly acceptable. There was either girls that did it or did not do it. That's why you effed and you got the Hummer and you got the whole package, but it was very hard to get. Now, it's broken up a la carte. Mm-hmm. The girls are a la carte. I'm sorry, we don't have the V. We don't have V on the menu tonight, but we'd be happy to give you the Hummer and the Handy if you want to take that out. And, well, let's see what's on the back of the menu. Flip it over. Because that's acceptable, too. As long as the V is kept fresh.
Can I substitute the digital manipulation for the fries?
Yes, absolutely. I'll write that down. Let me check with the kitchen.
Even though it's a school night, is that possible? Can I get something delivered?
So now it's all divvied up. And the Hummer is turned into something
that greeting.
Was akin to maybe making out.
Yeah.
You know, now it's like, hey, I don't go all the way, but yeah, I'll throw you that. Oh, jeepers. Gee, you bitch. Who wouldn't be skipping la 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 through the hallways the next day if girls were doing that?
I'm 35. My last Hummer cost me a tennis bracelet. All right?
Nice.
Yeah.
We have lots of these clips. We'll play one more before we take a break.
All right. What is this one?
Middle School Confessions from the HBO show. This is a little clip about oral. From a 12-year-old.
That's something new.
I think oral is okay to do because it's not a intercourse and I just feel that it's okay.
I don't know why.
A born trooper.
Isn't that?
Atta girl.
Is it like a psycho?
That makes me want to have kids.
How
in
much?
In what way?
No, that makes me want you to have kids.
I'm happy.
It's amazing.
Imagine the parties.
These are kids.
I'll babysit, Norton.
These are kids that were on camera. Nothing blocked out. You didn't have any digitizing of the face or anything. These now not electronically anyway. And the parents of these girls that you just heard are on there talking about sex. Is that something to do to your kid?
Yeah.
If she's doing it, hey, what are you going to do? You know. But then to splash it all over HBO, if I may use the term, splash, it just seems to me like you shouldn't be allowed to do that.
What's the bumper sticker say? My kid's a hose bag.
Yeah.
Ask me about my slutty granddaughter.
Proud to be the parents of a receptacle.
My daughter gave a Hummer to an honor student.
Ask me about my sea dumpster.
My girl can suck the color out of a marble.
Wow. They seem very fine with this going on. Hey, Paul, what's going on?
Hey, how you doing?
Hey, man.
Hey, I got the story. My brother, he was 10 years old, and he had this little teeny bopper girlfriend. Guess they were at her house, and their parents weren't there. Girl starts giving him a Hummer. My brother starts looking around like, what the hell is going on?
Oh, my God.
Kid had no idea what was going on. No. Teeny boppers giving away Hummers like Tic Tacs these days.
Look at this. Matt from Jersey has a whole timetable.
Yeah.
He goes, I'll settle things right now. Here's the timetable. 12 handies, 13 Hummers, starting of booze. At 14, you get the digits, and the lucky ones have sex. Booze way up. Pot smoking starts. 15, more sex, booze. Everyone smokes pot. 16, who hasn't at least gotten a Hummer at this point? And then he says, Hummers are like promotional tools today. It's like a throwout, a promo that you throw out there to let people know what they're in for.
Like a keychain.
Right. It's a promotional tool.
It's a Maglite flashlight with your phone number on it.
It's
here's
a get-to-know you.
Sally,
hey, how you doing?
Sally for class president.
It's like, how are you? Yeah, those school elections must be something these days.
And we should take a break. When we come back, we got the clip, the virgin talking about how she's a virgin except for her mouth.
That's wonderful.
Yeah. She's got a tattoo on her chin. It says, merging traffic.
Beware. Keep hands and feet away from the hopper at all times.
How much?
Middle School Confessions continue on the Opie and Anthony Show next.
There will always be retarded idiots to entertain us with their stupidity.
Mindless crotch grabbing Anthony. Mindless Opie crotch grabbing Anthony. People grabbing their crotches and saying, suck it. Opie and Anthony Show. Suck it.
Love the show.
Mindless, 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 mindless.
Anthony. WNEW.
This is the Opie and Anthony Show. A big thank you to Buffalo today, Ant. Buffalo, you guys, you rock, man. Buffalo gave us what Washington didn't.
Yes.
Washington gave us the clap yesterday.
Yeah.
But Buffalo, man, wow.
Buffalo was as sweet as a 12-year-old girl.
Oh, God.
I'm far. Starring in the job tonight, 9:30 on ABC.
ABC. Season premiere.
We felt
tonight's episode,
good.
Sacrilege.
Sacrilege.
That's the Quinn Martin voice.
A Quinn Martin production.
Epilogue.
Lisa wants in on this discussion. Lisa, what's going on?
Hey, guys. I just have an opinion on why these young kids are doing some serious fooling around.
Yeah?
You think maybe your show has a little something to do with it?
Oh, yeah, that's what it is.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
well,
hope so.
Helps.
Our show has something to do with it.
You and everybody like you. Don't you think you have a little something to do
that's
with it?
That's Lisa. No, maybe it's parents that don't pay attention to their kids, don't do parenting, and blame it on other things. Or maybe it's just slutty hose bags.
Well, the guys are too, from my opinion. I mean,
guys are too. Well, you think that's hot?
No, I don't.
That's supposed to sound sexy.
No, I think parents are very responsible, but I think it also helps when there's shows like yours on the air.
Shut up.
Be stupid.
Don't listen, you
twat. You're so funny, guys.
Yeah. How old were you?
Keep listening. Lisa,
how old were you?
Lisa, you sound really stupid because you're obviously listening to our show today. So if we're not funny or entertaining, then why are you listening to the show?
Because I'm very intrigued by what you guys are talking about.
There you go. Thank you.
Intrigued.
It's a really
tell your friends.
Subject,
tell your friends.
So.
Right.
Important
subject. Good luck to you and your pig children, stupid.
Oh, you're sweet, Norton. I can see why more like people like you.
Why you talk with that stupid fat girl high-pitched lilt?
Hey, it's maybe just like that,
stupid fat girl.
Yeah. You guys finished now?
No, stupid, we're not.
Finished now. We're not your boyfriend, so you can't kick us around and emasculate us like the twat you are.
Poor guys.
Are you finished now?
That's funny.
Is that what your husband says?
Yeah.
Okay, guys, I'm finished
now. Yeah, you are.
Hang up and suck.
Bye-bye.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Nice try, Lace. Nice try.
Bye-bye.
Keep listening, though.
Yeah.
Intriguing. That's we certainly could use the listeners in the D.C. area.
That's the girl that scrubs the toilet right after you beat her. That's what I like. I listen because I'm intrigued. I scrubbed because it was dirty and it hit me.
Ugh.
At least she knows my name, though. She must be listening.
Gee, Lacey, you heard it.
Yeah, gaming shows like you.
Sorry, guys. Oh, imagine having to go home to that voice.
So, I guess it wasn't important enough to do that.
You know, with the fake laughing lilt to the voice when she's pissed off, but she puts on that.
Well, why wasn't the lawn cut today? Yeah. I guess other things were too. Bam in the face! You know what that is? That's trying. That's passive aggressive.
Yeah.
Because for many years, Daddy snuck into the room at night, so you really never learn how to express your anger at men. Call back, stupid, and just say it sucks. I hate you. Have some courage. Yeah. Don't call up and try to be smarmy and smug. You're not bright enough for it.
Smarmy.
Yeah, but that smugness is you're not. You got to be really smart to pull that off. And that lilt gave you away, dummy.
Right. More clips from Middle School Confessions,
back
the show
the
that
rise.
Was on HBO last night. Okay.
Yes.
12, 13-year-old girls talking about stuff. Yeah, this was some...
this is the Virgin show.
The Virgin girl, Anthony. Virgin girl. How old?
12, 13.
I think she's 13, this one. Yeah. 13?
Yeah, this is 13.
Listen, what's going on.
I've never slept with anybody. I'm still purely virgin. Except for my mouth.
I didn't hear that.
Porno music in the background.
I didn't hear that. Could you replay that?
I've never slept with anybody.
Never slept with anybody.
I'm still purely virgin. Except for my mouth.
Okay.
Oof.
Right. Terrific.
And you know why? It's because of this show.
Yeah, that's it. And it has MFP fluoride, so it's good for your teeth.
I hope
at that
it is
growing age.
Show. You know how great that would be?
Yeah. It's our show. Chrissy!
Yes.
Hey.
I got to tell you guys thank you because I got a 13-year-old daughter and I'm now never letting her out of the house.
Sorry, what? You're not letting her out of the house?
Never. No. Thank you for. I didn't see this on HBO and I'm hearing this now. And
Chrissy.
I'm messing myself.
Chrissy, do you know what she's up to, if anything?
I keep a pretty tight rein on her, so yeah, I think I know what
you know.
Does
something?
Too.
So did these parents, man. Watch this special.
Don't
it's like,
tell me that.
Oh my God, does she go over friend's house?
Yeah, of course she does.
Does she ever spend the night?
Yes, she does.
Ooh. Get her draw wire.
Do you know?
Don't.
I'll draw her on the job tonight, 9:30.
Don't even say it.
Does she have friends that maybe you'd prefer she didn't hang out with?
Not anymore.
Not anymore. She
like
did.
Not anymore. She did. She used to hang out with them. There were a couple of girls that I put my foot down. You got it?
She fell in with a fast crowd.
Mm-hmm. No, not anymore.
No, huh?
No, no.
And what's the worst what's the worst thing you caught her doing?
I haven't caught her doing anything really bad. At this point, her and her girlfriends that she's around now, they talk about having crushes on boys. But,
crushes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But... you know, any house parties that she goes to, there's parents there.
Yeah,
and
sure.
Anything else is a school
house
activity.
House parties at 13.
House
party.
Put
it to the roller rink.
Mm. All right, well, all right. Looks like Chrissy's doing a good job partying, though.
Yeah.
She's doing the best she can.
Godspeed and good luck to you.
Good luck.
Thank you, guys. I mean it. Thank you for playing this.
All right, Chrissy. Well, this next clip is going to make you drive off the road, so hold on tight, all right?
All right.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Well, this is a girl talking about oral, Anthony.
All right.
12, 13. 13.
13.
With oral, it's really kind of fun to do because when the guys get it, they kind of give you more attention for it, and they're really happy with you and stuff
sure.
like that.
Sure. They're happy with you,
and they give you
more attention. Well, they learn young.
Yeah. That's a healthy home life.
Jesus.
Boy, I hope
they give you more attention.
Boy, I hope Sandy's listening.
Oh, my God.
Dude, she's going to slap your face, man.
You know what's sick? I'm going to ask my girlfriend.
Now you got to punch him.
Now I got to punch him.
You got to punch him.
Not hard this time.
But that's actually a good point. The kid raises a good point.
Yeah.
You want love and attention? Well, what are you bringing to the table?
Hey. You know, a lot of these girls, I think some of the clips they play later, they're saying this, that they don't want the guys to do anything to them. They don't want
to receive.
Be left alone. They just want to give... the Hummers.
Right.
Because, you know something? If you're a guy and you're laying back and you're getting that, and believe me, at that age especially, how thankful you are mm-hmm. at that, that girl is a goddamn princess right there.
Yeah.
What she's doing. And they could see it in the way you're
you know what's wrong?
Lifting your ass off the couch. You know what I mean? So, of course, they're going to dig doing it.
Pulling lint out of your ass.
Yeah. More commentary on oral, Anthony.
Where'd the upholstery go?
Oral in the middle schools.
Ah, right. From Middle School Confessions from HBO.
Yeah.
My boyfriend and I were going out for about 6 months before I gave him... and... we liked each other a lot. It was kind of like, I can't believe I did that, but after I was like, okay, that's cool.
Little giggles.
Yeah.
I like when they giggle.
Yeah.
Sure. Unfortunately, they giggle right when you take your pants down. It's not good.
Yeah. And they point and squint.
Where is it? Things
point
like that.
Squint. Nothing like a fond, girlish giggle, though.
It looks like one, only smaller. When they say that, it's bad.
One day that'll get hair.
Oh. You know, it's just
wow.
Awful. It's amazing
what
that they put this on TV. What are the parents thinking?
That's what they're saying about our radio show out there. Right?
I'd be like, you know something?
It's amazing they put this on.
Hey, I'm all for it. And I'm not talking about telling HBO they shouldn't air this.
Right.
Or any kind of censorship. I'm talking about parenting and going, if you get a kid that's saying this on TV, in front of a camera, and you then assign a release that says, yeah, fine, because the kid can't sign the goddamn release. The parents got to sign it.
Can, it'll be in crayon.
The parents got to sign it. Oh, yeah, put my daughter talking about how she hobs it on television. I'm sure it's going to be great for the father when he goes to the office on Monday.
Yeah.
It's not like HBO's catching on or anything. I don't think the neighbors have it.
Hey, Tom, isn't tomorrow bring your daughter to work day? Hey.
It's just a
I'll
band.
Bring the lube. Bring your daughter to work day tomorrow there, Bob. I saw your daughter on HBO last night. We're all eagerly awaiting by the water cooler.
Yeah.
What's it? Bring your little whore hose bag to work day tomorrow.
Stupid parents allowing
Very stupid.
Stupid parents. I'm thankful.
This one's going to
be so stupid.
This one's going to make some moms drive off the road. Anthony, the next clip from Middle School Confessions.
Okay.
More about oral.
People think that, like, that's going way too fast, but a lot of people are doing it now. I kind of wanted to create a closer relationship with my boyfriend, but then he kind of thought that once he got it once, he's going to get it often, and it got us closer, but we broke up after.
Oh, he dumped her afterwards, huh?
He thought he was going to get it all the time.
You know, God damn.
It's a lot like marriage.
She gives it to him once, and it's like, come on. Yeah. It's been 5 minutes. Yeah.
Ladies, don't you know that's like feeding a puppy? You know, when you put milk outside the door, that dog ain't leaving.
Right.
And where would she record this? A daycare? What was going on in the
back? I know. Did you hear
one of the house parties?
That was at.
They went into one of these house parties.
That was a little house party going on as they're talking about oral.
Woo! How about that?
But I thought my daughter was going to see Harry Potter.
They said they were going to go see Harry Potter.
Harry Potter?
I didn't know.
Harry Potter. Harry Poker and the Sorcerer's Bone.
I never had reason to doubt her before this. Harry Potter.
The parents love when we do stuff like this. They love stories like this.
Vinny!
Yo, what's up, man?
What's up?
I got a 13-year-old son and a 17-year-old son. The only problem is, like, the first time you catch him having sex, the first thing that goes to your mind is, oh, no! And then the second thing that goes to your mind is, oh, thank God, they're not gay!
Oh, there you go.
So it's like totally different. You know, if I had a daughter, tonight she'd be like handcuffed in the basement. I'd be concreting over the door. She'd never get out.
But your 13-year-old, you know, has had sex already?
Well, I know he's gotten something from somebody because his friends called him up one day and he's like, yeah, she was hot. She tasted nice, too. So
she's
I figured
nice.
He was getting a little something.
That could be anything, though. Maybe a little nuzzle on the neck.
Yeah.
I don't know. It got a little more graphic than that. I can't quite explain it to you.
You heard that from your 13-year-old?
Yeah, he was talking on the phone.
Good boy, though. He's going south already.
He's a team player, that
kid. That's nice.
I called my 17-year-old son in the backseat of my friggin' Mercedes in a goddamn garage. I go downstairs to get, like, a friggin' 12-pack out of the garage. I open up the light kicks on. All I see is a pair of feet up against the windshield, and then a pair of pop up behind him.
Hold on,
because you can't say the T word. But
danger.
You saw feet up on the windshield and a pair of her T's.
Yeah, it just popped up, and I was like, the first thing that came to my mind was, he's having sex. And then it was like, but he's not gay.
Thank God he's not gay.
Do we have the clips from the middle school gay guys?
All right.
Hey, that girl.
I got to go. You're talking about gay stuff. I don't even want to think about that.
Vinny, the girl he was with didn't have a big back, did she?
she had a nice rack.
Vinny's right. My big sex talk from my father.
Yeah.
My father walked in my room and went, Adam, don't kiss guys, huh? Please, Jesus Christ.
That was the sex.
That was it.
Big Joe. Our buddy Nick Carter checking in. Nick.
Holy effing garanimals, man.
Did you see this special?
Dude, you got to give it to HBO. Between this show and Oz, you can almost experience a weekend at Norton's house.
Exactly.
Of course, from the comfort of your own home.
And the safety.
And the amazing thing about it, like I heard you talking about this earlier. They didn't digitize any of the faces. You know every single one of these kids is going to be reliving this show on an analyst couch for years to come.
Hell yeah. Not only that, think of the action they're going to get now that it's been splashed all over cable television, HBO, that they're goers, man.
You know, they're going to be checking in their email, you know, did we have anything, any extra credit homework? Hey, what are you doing later on? I saw your TV appearance.
Yeah, I'm a 38-year-old man, and I thought you were so hot on HBO.
33.
Of course.
And that's the neighbor.
We're having a Grand Theft Auto 3 tournament over the house. How about if you come over for a little bit?
Yeah.
Now, let's go. Just for a second, go back to elementary school. I mean, think about it. I mean, you know, I mean, well, it was a good night. At the end of the night, if you went to a dance, you had your hands on some girl's ass.
Yeah.
That was about it.
I know.
I mean, now you feel like a loser if you didn't get laid. And if you'd known any of this was going on then, why would you even try to progress to high school? You'd stay in middle school.
I went to plenty of parties at that age. And parties that, you know, there was some drinking going on.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But nothing like they were talking about last night, going into rooms with the Hummers and stuff. Nothing like that.
I was talking about this briefly earlier today on the show, and I'm like praying to the fertility god. Should the day come that I ever do have kids, if I have a little girl, I'm going to kill myself.
Yeah, I don't know how guys with girls that are 13, 14 are even dealing with life.
Yeah, well, you know, you got to figure every single kid, especially little girls under the age of I would say even 15 now, they're grounded for life. Even, you know, even the Wallflowers. Anybody who saw that show, nope, you're not getting out of the house. Sorry.
You just know.
Your plans are canceled till you're 30.
Anytime if you're a father, and I can't even imagine, you know, and I don't want to. If you're a father of a girl that age and you've raised her all those years, and then you hear things and just are picturing her doing those things to some filthy sea, it's just like, it's got to kill you, guys. Guys. It's got to kill you.
Well, my first thought was, you know, my first thought was these kids, especially the little girls, especially the girl, the poor little thing with the braces. I'm like, does she even realize what she's saying?
Yeah, no.
She will a couple of years from now.
Yep.
If somebody sits down and explains it to her, she just looks at this tape and says, oh, my God, what have I done?
Daddy, with the same eyes, she looked at you all happy when you gave her that first Barbie doll on her birthday, and she was wearing the little I'm 8-year-old tiara on her head, princess dress for her birthday. It's the same eyes that are now spinning around giving the fish eye. As
you're killing the fathers today, man.
As she's getting a load of tapioca on the back.
Every father driving home now, God damn it, I should have just given her a pony.
All right, Nick.
All right, boys, I got to go bathe in holy water and try to redeem myself.
Oh, yeah, sure. Right on, there he goes. Our buddy, our pal, Nick Carter.
God damn.
From Boston.
Isn't that just awful to think? And the fathers out there right now, I don't know how you drive them with both hands over your ears going, no.
La, 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 la.
Hey, Danny, you're next on the Opie and Anthony Show. What's up?
Hey, guys, what's going on?
Hey.
A couple years ago, I was in my parents' house, and I pick up the phone. This is what I hear. I hear my brother talking to his girlfriend, and she goes to him, next time, I want to do it to you in the shower. Guys, they were 12 years old.
Do it to you in the shower. That's great. There you go.
12 years old. But it's like Matthew McConaughey said in Dazed and Confused. It's what I love about these girls. I get older, they stay the same age.
Oh,
take it easy, guys.
Thank you, Danny. Remember Daniela, the last girl that did the wiffle ball bat challenge, Anthony?
Oh, yeah.
She's on the line. Daniela.
Hi, guys.
Hey, what's up?
Actually, I think I have something to, like, blow all you guys away.
Away. Good.
Okay. So, like, all these girls, like, all right.
Yeah.
The first time I ever kissed a girl, like, a heavy kissing girl,
uh-huh.
I was in kindergarten.
And you had her milk money.
Kindergarten?
I was like 5 or 6 years old.
What the hell possessed you guys to do that?
You know what's funny? Like,
there are no wiffle ball bats around.
That could be something you saw on television. You're imitating.
Was it?
No, I'm serious. Like, she would call my house, and we'd like just start getting it on.
In kindergarten.
I was 5 years old.
What was? If you remember, please let us know what was in your mind. What the hell like made you do that?
I don't know. Like, I just found her so attractive, and, like, just one thing led to another. I remember I used to go over her house, and we used to just, like, do things. She used to come over my house. We used to do things. It was like it went on for, like, 3 weeks. And then she moved to Florida.
A whirlwind affair. A whirlwind affair.
But I still remember her fondly.
Like, now I'm listening to all these, like, 13-year-olds talk about how they do oral and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But, like, I think that's a beautiful thing. Like, you know, if you're going to explore your sexuality like that, that's fine.
Hey, so were you like that at 13 or
something? Oh, yeah.
You were given the oral.
Oh, definitely. And I was receiving it, too. I think it's a beautiful thing, really.
Jumping Jehoshaphat.
Yeah.
How about that? Look, everyone is silent looking around. What the hell?
I don't get five.
But, like, what were you guys like at 13? Like, it's something you do.
I was nowhere near that.
I was whacking my bag.
I was just introducing myself to myself.
Wow.
That was about
I was locked in my... I had a towel in my room I could use as a lampstand.
But that's horrible. You should have went out. Like, I'm sure if you guys went out and looked for girls to do that, they would have done it for you. Sure.
No, we're guys. Sure, at that age, sure. I would.
Them is getting rid of all that evidence and the police coming over to investigate.
Duct tape, garbage bags.
What are you going to do?
Look,
I'm not saying there was all kinds of experimentation going on with the girls. There was, like, the kissing stuff.
But at 5 years old, I mean, you like a girl, you just push them. You know, that's
fine.
I kissed a girl.
Yeah, I know you did. We listened. I remember when I was, it had to be maybe 8 years old or something, making out in the basement of the apartment complex with a girl. Mm-hmm. And it was like, you know, that might as well have been sex, because it's all I know.
Was she running her fingers through your afro?
Yeah, that was pretty much it. My Angela Davis afro. Howard to the people afro.
Thank you, Danielle.
Bye, guys.
My young Lawrence Hilton Jacobs finds love.
Yeah. like.
How many more clips we got?
We only got three more to go.
Another clip on, what a surprise, oral. Anthony.
More oral in middle school.
Giving has nothing to do with your body. They don't have to see you or feel you or judge you in any way. It's kind of like you're in control and stuff. I think I'd feel more comfortable with somebody that I wouldn't know, because if I did it wrong, it's okay, because I'm not going to see him again.
Wow.
Okay. All she had to say to that was a silver Saturn.
Oh, Jesus. Oh, that was that girl with the braces again. She's the 13-year-old with the braces talking about how, hey, she likes doing it. The guys don't have to touch her or see her body or anything like that, because she says she's a little self-conscious. And she prefers it with people she doesn't know, because if you do it wrong, it doesn't matter. You don't have to see him again.
She's a glory hole.
Jesus. Yeah, a glory hole with shoes.
That's it.
It is.
A glory hole with a bus pass.
Yeah.
A traveling glory hole.
And for some reason, the parents felt it was perfectly fine to put her on
very
television.
Very important that their daughter would,
that their daughter talk about what a whore slut she really is.
How do you do? Well, honey, I wanted her to take dance lessons, but if you think this is good for us,
I'll
sign the release.
Sign away.
She wants to act.
So she said she sucks what? Okay, I'll write that okay. Fine to air. Go ahead.
Fine to air.
There you go. That's my gal.
She doesn't see, like, her 13-year-old girl. And especially being the youngest in the family, she sees me as being the baby, I think. And sometimes I feel as though I'm being treated like a baby, so I don't want her to know any of the things that I do that are not so good.
Yeah, treated like the baby. Here's your binky. You need your binky. And one more clip.
I feel like I've completely lost all my innocence. When you're a little girl, you like, when you see kissing on TV, it's like, ugh. And like when you do, you're like, mm-hmm. Being intimate and oral with guys is just like, you're not that little girl that wear hair and ponytails and ate a cake with frosting all over her face. But you know, you can't change the past, so I guess there's nothing I can do about it.
That's the beginning of a porno movie.
Yeah.
It goes
with the music and everything.
The music goes into a dream sequence, and it goes in on the strippers.
All you need is Max Hardcore. That's it, young lady. Yeah,
that's it. That's yeah. Either that or the other video collection where you write the C word on her forehead and smack her in the face.
But Max Hardcore is the originator of that guy, the whole
That genre.
That genre.
What was that series called?
That was called Slap Happy.
Slap Happy.
Oh,
I'm sorry, Jim Norton. Tim. Silly me.
Tim, what's up?
How you doing, guys?
Hey, man.
Long-time listener, second-time caller. I've got a three-month-old, and what you guys are, a three-month-old daughter, and what you guys are talking about is absolutely scaring the hell out of me.
You got a good 4 or 5 years before you have to start worrying, according to some of our friggin' callers.
I think I'm
going to
go and get the stapler out and staple up a few things.
Holy yes. I don't know what you could possibly do aside from moving to some barren wasteland in Alaska, and then she'd probably come home with a moose. I'm just thinking there's nothing a guy can do if you have a daughter, and because they come from the best of homes, they come from the worst of homes, the parents think they're doing a good job, the parents are doing a crappy job, and they wind up becoming doctors and whatever. They do a great job. They rebel against the parents because they're giving them too much, and they become hose bags. There's no rhyme or reason to it, my friend. You just effed up and one of those Y chromosomes or something kind of...
Being a good parent helps.
That's certainly scary. You also remember when you were 14 trying to do anything and everything possible.
Of course. It's only gotten worse.
You have a daughter, that's for sure.
You remember knocking on some guy's door and asking for his daughter when you were a kid?
Never did that.
Sorry, she's not home right now. I know the struggle. She's dodging me, too.
All right, Tim, thank you.
Hey, guys, have a good day.
Bye.
You stay in this room. I'm going to Cleveland to hand out stickers. You're not leaving until I get back.
What's up there, Psycho Mark?
No, I was going to say, the parents are morons. Who would ever put their daughter on national TV?
Well, that's retards.
That's the point we're making.
Retards. I mean, yeah, that apparently you can see where they went
situation,
wrong.
Right.
Right.
Right, I apologize.
There are some really hot stories coming in on instant feedback, but
we're trying to show some responsibility today with this subject.
Dana from Cleveland says she became active at 10
mm-hmm.
with digitally, and at 11 orally with girls.
Whoa.
Oh. 14. lost it to a boy.
This is all on the instant feedback.
And 17 became oral with boys.
Hey, let's take a break. Let's take a break, everyone.
This Friday, the 55-gallon drum challenge.
It was in my mouth. Ew.
Replayed in its entirety. On the Opie and Anthony Show. And EW.
OP Anthony
1027 WNEW.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Walt Disney World. Welcome to the Boardwalk Resort Hotel here on the sprawling Disney complex.
Seems there's a hostage situation at Disney World, Opie.
Yeah, I see that. Gunmen holding, what, a Disney employee hostage at one of the hotels?
Here in the happiest place on Earth.
How are they going to spin that? You know how Disney hates, like, negative publicity? Remember that poor guy that got clocked in the head with the cleat off of that big ship in Disney? The poor guy saves, like, for years to go on a vacation.
What ride was that again? Do you remember?
It wasn't even a ride. It was, you know that big boat, the Columbia, that circles the river on track or something. Can't even float a real boat. It circles this little river,
mm-hmm.
and they were pulling into port, and this poor guy, you know, working, slaving, saves his money so they could go to Disney on a vacation, him and his family.
He's been waiting online to get on the stupid boat ride.
Yeah. Maybe one of the workers stayed out a little too late that night, the night before, throws the rope over the little thing to stop the boat. The cleat, they're going a little too fast. The cleat pops off the boat. Now the rope and cleat fling like a bullwhip and crack this guy right in the skull. Dropped him right there.
Dead.
Killed him dead.
He's dead.
So what happens? Disney gets in trouble because they tampered with the scene. They haul the guy away, hose the blood down. Business as usual. Get Mickey out there waving to the kids again. It's okay. It's only another human being.
Is that really what
That's
happened?
That's what they did. They got in trouble because, you know, they should have investigated the scene.
Yeah.
The world is a carousel of color. Fantasy.
Here comes the boat, kids. This is going to be great.
With all of the secrets to see, the world is a treasure trove of faces.
Remember that in Disneyland there was a ride called the American Revolution. It was called back in the 70s. It was a celebration of America, and you know, you get a bunch of little cute little kids singing songs and stuff. And it was on this. It was a rotating arena, big, huge, round thing, and it spun. Spun around. A worker was in the works when it spun around and got caught and crushed in the gears of this thing. You know what they did? Business as usual. Haul them away. It's Disney. It doesn't matter. Great. Yeah. There have been a few cool deaths at Disney. Space Mountain.
Isn't there a website dedicated to all that crap?
Oh, yeah.
Somewhere?
Yeah, there's Disney deaths. At Space Mountain, somebody stood up.
Why would you ever stand up?
There was another one, the People Mover at Disney. You get in there, and it goes like 1 mile an hour. You have to be a complete idiot to get hurt on this ride. It just kind of takes you on a little tour. You ride around, and it's like,
we are now inside Space Mountain. Please no flash photography as we go at 1/2 mile an hour. Now, as you look upon the sprawling Tomorrowland, we will take you to Frontierland.
And, like, this thing is doing 1 mile an hour. Somebody, it was going so slow, they get out of one of the cars, and they're going to run on the track up to the next car where their friends are in there, trips, gets run over by the car that he got out of, crushed, killed. You know what Disney did?
Huh.
Get out the hose. Sprayed it down. Business as usual.
Business as usual.
Sorry for the slight delay. We seem to have a crushed human being on the track. But that's okay as we enter Adventureland. Put on your safari hats.
Hey, Kevin, what's going on?
Yeah, my brother, he used to, he worked down there a few years ago. Space Mountain was famous for giving people heart attacks.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, and they used to, and Disney would pay like this hush money. You never hear about it.
Yeah, they pay people off or something.
One time on the safari guy, he used to, you know, like, they make believe, oh, there's a hippo, you know, take a shot.
Oh, that's always funny.
Oh, yeah.
Now, as you round the river, you see a giant elephant on the side. Look out. Whoa, here comes the water. Whoa. Look at that. You can't tell it's mechanical with that trunk on a hinge. Boy, that's realistically. Oh, here comes a crocodile. Whoa, let me shoot him. Okay, I got him.
Yeah, well, yeah, comes out.
And as we make our way back to shore,
right,
make sure you stop off at the souvenir stand and buy some more of this crap for like $80.
Hey, Dave, what's up?
How you doing?
How you doing?
Pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah. I got another story about someone who died at Disney.
Okay.
What happened was this little girl was riding Small World with her family, right? And you know how like people throw pennies and stuff into the water?
Oh yeah.
So like she reaches in to grab a handful or something, her hand gets caught in the track, she gets pulled in and dies.
Jesus. What did Disney do, Anthony?
Spray it down. Hose her down.
Another thing, though. What's it called? Disney. They'll never pronounce anyone dead on property.
No, that's true. What do they do?
They'll always wheel them away in an ambulance.
And then they're pronounced dead, like,
at the hospital
en route
or
dead on arrival or something like that. No one's pronounced dead here at Disney. They probably have, like, you know, Goofy and Pluto come out with a Goofy stretcher and, like, grab the guy's wife instead of the guy that's laying there and then hit each other because it's fake, you know. Oh, no, wait, it's the guy. Oh, they run off. Wacky.
It's the wildest ride this side of the Pecos. Make sure you keep your hands and feet inside the ambulance at all times.
Patrick?
Yeah.
What up?
Yeah, I used to work at Disney too, and that's true. They gave a guy who got struck by lightning mouth-to-mouth resuscitation. He was deader than snot. I mean, the paramedics were giving him mouth-to-mouth resuscitation all the way out of the park because they refused to pronounce him dead.
Really?
Oh my God.
Yeah.
That's something.
All right, Patrick.
Like you said, spray it down, keep moving.
All right. Keep the rides going.
Yeah.
We're trying to find that website.
There it is.
I was there 3 weeks ago.
Matterhorn bobsled. The first ride to kill somebody. Let's see. From 1955 through 63, Disney's safety record was flawless. Not all their guests may have left happy, but they did leave alive. This record ended May 64. The killer attraction, the Matterhorn bobsled. A party for 10,000 Long Beach Elks and their guests. Tragic first victim, 15-year-old Mark Maples of Long Beach. Let's see. He argued with a girl over going steady, blah, blah, blah. His friends had to restrain him from flinging himself to the ground 50 feet below. But there's no way to stay depressed at Disney. He was having an argument with his girlfriend, I guess. He got on the bobsled. He felt a sudden, inexplicable need to stand up. Wanting to stretch his legs or confused, the simulated bobsled was much more traditional, like a surfing or skiing thing. His friend just heard some thump noise, and Mark was gone.
God.
No screams, no triumphant shouts of cowabunga. He catapulted from the speeding car, landed on the track a few feet down. Skull fracture, various injuries. never regained consciousness.
Dead.
You know what they did?
They sprayed it down?
Spray it down and let it rock. Move on. Danny, what's going on?
Hey, how you guys doing?
Doing well.
Yo, I got a little story for you. I was down at Disney World with two of my friends about a year and a half ago, 2 years ago, and we ended up catching two of the characters having sex together.
And?
It was unbelievable. And then when we did, we reported it to them. They offered to give us a free vacation coming back, and they said that they give us free tickets to the park. And my friend Santo's son, he's like 3 years old, and we're like, the kid's never going to forget this. Mickey Mouse is banging Snow White. Yeah, how are you going to do it? They ended up giving us all free passes to the park, a lifetime for his family, lifetime free passes to the park.
Oh, my God. Another guy tried
Thank you,
to,
Danny.
Another guy Thank tried you. To get into the park. Poor guy, Cleveland, 19-year-old guy. Tried to get into the park by climbing the fence, climbing up one of the poles that hold up the monorail, and walking on the monorail track into the park.
Come on.
The newspapers could only describe his body as badly mangled. It dragged him 30 or 40 feet before it could stop. Spray it down and let the rides roll. Grant, what's going on?
How's it going?
We're doing well.
Yeah, I used to work at Disney World 2 years ago at the Grand Floridian.
Okay.
And they made you take these Disney University classes.
Yeah.
They have like a university on the Disney World grounds. And it actually told you something happened while like someone on a ride to get rid of it as fast as possible.
Get rid of it, yes.
Get rid of it as fast as possible. And I worked, I've seen some crazy shit.
Whoa.
Sorry about that, guys.
Whoa! Cursing!
Watch out.
Yeah, they still have at least a slight pulse, they just want to drag them off of the Disney property. Dave, what's going on?
Hey, what's up, guys? I want to tell you, a couple of years ago, me and my buddies were down at Disney World, and one of them got busted for shoplifting. And when he got out, he said that the jail cell has, like, a big plastic Mickey Mouse with a frown on his face just holding on to the bars.
Come on.
Yeah, they got their own little jail?
Yeah, they got, like, Disney jail.
Yeah.
And then they hold you there till the Orlando police come.
That's funny. How about Dolly Young of Fremont riding on, again, the Matterhorn bobsled? So her safety belt unbuckled.
Uh-oh.
She fell to the track, bounced along. While struggling to regain to her feet, a second speeding sled smashed into her. The bullet sled dragged her for a car length before stopping with her corpse pinned beneath its wheels. She was pronounced dead a short time later. Well, probably after they got her off the track. She's still alive. Look, her finger's twitching. Get the hose.
This guy says he has some twisted stories about Disney. Mark!
What's up, guys?
How are you?
Former cast member.
Cast member, Opie. They're not employees.
No,
they're all
employees
cast,
or cast
members.
I was a monorail pilot for 2 years.
Pilot?
Yeah.
Like you're going, I'm going to turn left today.
Yeah.
You know, I'm the pilot. I'm going left.
Now, all seriousness, I mean, there's so many dark secrets about Disney. I wish somebody would just, like, write a decent book about it already. I mean, there's, like, one book out there called Mouse Tales.
Give us a couple, man. You're
a friend of mine. Like I,
Tom Cruise I lived, over here. Right.
I lived in the condo complex where a friend of mine, there were characters above me. And one played Goofy, the girlfriend was Minnie, whatever. But make a long story short, he witnessed an accident that took place between a company vehicle and a civilian. And the accident resulted in the death of a civilian. And the local sheriff and also the Disney cops, that are Disney cops, believe it or not, And they told him if he saw anything or if he said anything that he would lose his job and this and that, and they threatened him with a bunch of things.
Wow.
It's just, that's the way it is.
You got to figure they bring in so much revenue for the state that they do want to protect it, even the police department and everybody else. They don't want any scandals going on.
I mean, it's like, for example, like the Atlanta, you know, when the bombings in Atlanta went out during the Olympics, I was testing for my monorail pilot license. And
are you kidding? Isn't it just go and stop?
It's a whole test you have to go through. It's not just pushing.
Please stand clear of the doors.
Is that one?
Please stand clear of the monorail doors.
No, no, actually,
stand el clero.
It's please stand clear of the doors. Por favor, mantengas cerrado de las puertas.
That is it. That's it.
But, no, but seriously, some guy walked on our monorail while this girl was testing and getting her checkout.
I want to take this to Cuba.
No. He threatened the bomb, and as soon as that happened, they were going between the transportation center and Epcot Center. And as soon as they got to the other side, that was where the cops were, FBI, and supposedly, I don't know if this was true or not, but CIA.
Wow.
Yeah. And then, I mean, that's got a million stories. We had a plane crash into us one day. We had
a plane crash into Disney?
A little biplane crashed into, just missed the monorail, smacked the beam while the monorail was passing over. So if that knocked off.
Pay no attention to the flaming aircraft.
Exactly.
Pay no attention, though.
Exactly.
The aircraft, though.
Underneath Disney at night, they have cockfights. It's amazing.
Actually, you know what? And this is interesting. We had a sniper one night.
Get out, really?
On the top of the Contemporary Hotel. This was about, this happened supposedly it was like 5 years ago.
Wow.
I climbed to the top and he was ready to open fire.
Wow. Yeah, there are probably so many deep, dark secrets.
Yeah, we'll continue this discussion, but we don't want to get fired.
Why? We're not owned by them.
We got a lot of power.
We're not owned by them.
All these stories are allegedly, right, Anthony?
No, this is all absolute fact. No. Yeah, I don't know. These people work there, I'm sure.
There you go.
And Opie, everyone knows we have to get a cease and desist first. And then, then we have to shut up.
All right, well,
welcome to the bottomless pit of ignorance.
Opie, I feel like being an idiot.
Anthony.
I'm a retard.
The Opie and Anthony Show.
Effing hilarious.
Opie and Anthony, 1027. WNEW.
She's all right. She's all right. That's it. Yeah.
Hey. And we're back with the Opie and Anthony Show. Rick James in the house. Yes. Building security is up here. Everyone excited to meet Rick James today.
I want
to
meet him.
Let's bring him in. A couple phone numbers in the New York area. 877-692-1027. Anywhere else, 866-277-4WOW. That's 866-277-4WOW.
Putting on the old headphones.
Oh, yeah, that tune. Playing in the background.
He's probably rolling his eyes right now like, oh,
yeah,
right.
Geez, you know how much other stuff I've done?
Right.
And this is like the tune that everyone knows you for.
This is a shame.
Yeah. How you doing, Rick?
Good, man.
Yeah?
Good, buzzing.
Doing all right? Keeping busy?
Pumped up, man. I'm excited.
Yeah?
Excited to be back in New York.
Very cool.
Yeah.
You know something? I've been fascinated with the life of Rick James. I got to tell you.
Oh, don't scare me out, Rick.
Not many people. Rick, you got to be. I mean, please. Not many people have gone through so many things in their life as you.
Well,
you
know? Hopefully they don't.
Well, yeah. Well, some of this stuff is great. I mean, I love the whole thing when, especially when that song was popular. You know, from what I could see, you were knocking them down left and right. You know, a lot of girls, hot chicks of the day, just clamoring over you.
Yeah.
And you were living the life.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden,
living the high life.
All of a sudden,
what?
This story comes out behind the music.
Yeah.
This story comes out that. Yeah. Here's a guy that's getting chicks all over the place. Then a story comes out that...
Have to force a chick to have
right.
sex.
Right. And I'm like,
now,
this ain't
come on.
Rick James.
Think about that. I want you to think about that one.
Exactly. It's like, why would Rick James, who is getting chicks left and right, then have to...
force someone who loves drugs to do drugs.
There you go.
Something is not wrong with this picture.
Exactly. It seemed a little off.
Well, see, that's one of the things behind the music failed to mention.
Mm-hmm.
I think I was pleased with behind the music. Other than the fact, I was pleased with it.
Yeah.
Other than the fact that a lot of the stuff that went on that was sealed by the judge, the DA didn't end. The DAs are bribing witnesses and giving witnesses drugs and TVs
really?
And things to lie. Oh, yeah, a lot of stuff went on.
It did.
Yeah, and I mean, anyone in their right mind knows. I really have to force a woman to have sex. Yeah, I really have to do that.
For some reason,
I really have to force girls who've been kicked out of states because of their drug addiction to do drugs.
It seemed to me It seemed to me like it was just a group of people that enjoyed doing some drugs and having some sex, got together, and all of a sudden she freaked out?
Well, no, what it was she came to my house. She came to my house with this other girl, 6 in the morning. I guess she told the jury she came to a cocktail party. Yeah, I always have them at 5 in the morning. Right? We were on the floor in a closet somewhere in the first half an hour. Anyway, she stayed for like a month and a half.
A month and a half.
And she finally went back to her pimp or her man.
Mm-hmm.
He was a little pissed off, and she came out with the story. Yeah, and. They just, you know, it was much more to that. I mean, I got a book coming out called Confessions of a Super Freak. When we're going to expose a lot of the stuff that the judge hid and a lot of that stuff.
There were a lot of stories of like torture though.
I'm Marky Desai, right? I torture every woman. Sure.
Let me just believe that it's true because you're my idol. Please, let me just believe it.
Sorry, you know. I love the concept. You know, I mean,
yeah.
Marky Desai, one of my favorite characters in life.
The images.
That's a Bugs Bunny. And, every woman I think I've ever had sex with, I think I've tortured, maimed, cut, stabbed.
The images that it conjured.
That's why there were so many lined up around the courthouse. And, right.
Rick James just going nuts and torturing a woman. The images it conjured up was like, wow.
Oh, I have to torture.
What the hell is going on with this one?
Look, before we make love, they have to get tied up and tortured and stabbed. And
see, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Sounds like Norton's date.
Yes.
I don't spank butts. I brand them.
Is that it?
So there was no torturing?
Sorry for all of you S&M freaks who line up there with your whips and chains.
No, huh?
I'm sorry.
Now they
have to go see Prince.
For some reason, the jury didn't buy this.
No, they didn't.
And they sent you away.
Well, really.
Now, you were doing, at the time, you were into doing crack? Is that what?
I hate to say I don't do crack and didn't like crack. I freebased a lot of cocaine.
You know something? A lot of people that freebase the coke don't like when it's called doing crack.
No, they don't.
Freebasing cocaine a lot more civilized than doing crack.
It's politically correct to say freebase.
It sounds cooler. It sounds cool. It's a lot more.
It's sure.
I'm freebasing.
Right. For those out there who think crack and freebase are the same, you're a fool. That's why they cost the same. That's why you can buy crack for $10 and $100.
Freebase, very refined. You go out, you get your ether, ammonia, you mix it up.
See, there you go, going back to the old days. reliving those times, reliving those old feelings.
Rick, I got to say, I partook in a little freebase cocaine myself back in the 80s.
I partook in a lot of freebase.
And I'll tell you one thing.
And you're here to talk about it.
It did make you feel good.
But it didn't. Yeah, and as soon as you did it, you wanted to burn and torture someone, didn't you?
Well, yes, I did, and I captured a lot of people and tortured them.
And they're still in his basement.
Did you ever get high with a party with Richard Pryor? Did you ever get high with Pryor?
No, matter of fact, when I sang with Richard, he used to do that drug. That's what made me not want to do it.
Yeah.
See, for a long time, I was totally against it. I mean, we used to start cocaine in the 80s all the time.
Who didn't, Rick?
And at every session, every time we recorded, you know, it was like the end thing to do. You hang out in Studio 54 and, you know, we'll play them and Paris, wherever you go, and you start cocaine.
But
I used to watch people really change. And Richard was one of them, man. Richard used to get really weird off freebasing, and girls would like take out all these bottles and baking soda and ether and all this stuff, and I never understood that. So for a long time I was down on that.
Yeah,
I really cursed the day that I started. I went from spending like
who showed you the freebase? Who showed you?
Well,
that?
What happened was I was spending like I don't know $200,000 a year, and from Jose and writing it off Jose Coca. Some strange thing.
Well, right on, right.
And then during the street song tour, we went to Chicago. And I don't want to name the organization, but, you know, they were a political organization.
Mm-hmm.
And the guy came in and he had this big case. And it opened up like four ways, right? And he these pipes and all this stuff.
Like
he says, I'm going to give you, have you ever done this? And I said, no. And then he closed the case back up. I said, what are you doing? He said, well, I'm not going to be the first one to turn you on.
Ah.
I said, I was just kidding. I've done that before. I was just kidding.
Right.
And he opened it back up, and I had my, one of my security members, about 6 foot six, and he said he had tried it. He lied, too. And so they made this stuff up, and he took a hit of it, and he fell flat on his back.
Yeah.
And I says, I got to have that.
Everyone remembers that first big puff of freebase smoke.
And I never quite got high off it, but I did hire someone to go on the road and cook it up for me.
Yeah.
And all these groups used to steal him because he would cook so good.
He was the good cook.
God, why are you making me remind me of all these? Oh, God.
Because it's interesting. Wait. So there was just a guy that followed you on tour, and that was his
And he
and
cooked.
That was his only
yes,
job.
Yes, yes. And his job was to cook.
Motley Crue told us that they had a drug deal that would just
Matter of fact,
around.
He was so good. He was so good to cook. He would cook up the coconut, and the water would be invisible. And he would go in the room and bring back another rock.
How about that?
He was very good.
What, he used the eyedropper and
no,
get
man,
this
no,
stuff out
no,
and put it on a slate or something?
He was just a really good cooking
yeah.
thief. And he could just a really good cook. And all of these rock and roll groups and people used to steal them.
Didn't you realize, Rick, after the first hit, you never get quite as good a buzz the whole rest of the night?
You know what, I couldn't understand the high. You know, it was like... When I first freebase, I didn't understand that high.
No?
It took me 3, 4, 5 times to really get it. And once
I understand.
No, really.
I got to get a grasp
on really, because when you sort it, I mean, bam, you know what it's like, okay? But when you start smoking and you don't understand something, you're trying to say, well, what is the big deal?
Yeah.
And then next thing, you're spending $5,000-$6,000 a week on the big deal.
And you wonder, then you know what the big deal is.
Yeah, right.
It's called addiction.
Oh, serious addiction.
Wow. So you were going through a lot of cash.
Yeah,
and,
kind
of got you into a little bit of trouble, I guess.
Well, you know, that happened really. All the trouble was, it came forth. Like, my mother was, I was out in California and I brought this house. And Mickey Rooney used to have, and it's a beautiful place. Matter of fact, I was going to say, it took me like 4 months to realize I had this beautiful rose garden on the side of the house. I got to just stay in my, you know, my mother was dying of cancer at the time, and I really didn't care about living and dying, so I brought a lot of degradating people around me,
mm-hmm.
and I didn't really care about who hung around, you know. And it was mostly, you know, a lot of women, and there's a lot of degradation, you know.
A little self-destructive.
Yeah, and it was, you know, I didn't care. So I brought a lot of people around that, you know, I was cruising for a bruising, you know.
Yeah.
I was headed straight forward. I didn't really care. So when all of that went down, it really saved my life. I mean, you know, because really it was a curse turning into a blessing. Because
well, sometimes stuff like that happens, and you end up dead instead of.
I mean, the judge wanted to give me like 3 lifetimes, and I was like getting high every day and snoring and going to sleep in court. I said, 3 lifetimes? How do you do 3 lifetimes? Would you like die and come back and do like another lifetime?
If you were able to come back, you would have to go back to prison.
Yeah, he was calling me all these names, Charles Manson, Margie the Side.
How much time did you get?
Well, really what I got was, I got 5 years, but it was suspended into like 8 months at a drug thing.
Mm-hmm.
But when I went to the drug prison, I didn't know that the head of the prison was allowed to exclude you if you had violence, you know. And there was violence on my record, you know. And so she excluded me, which means she put me out of that. And I'm kind of glad because had I done that 8 months, I would have been on parole probably for the rest of my life, damn near.
Yeah.
So she said. So I went to. She excluded me, and I induced to 5 years, and I did close to 3 years at Folsom Prison.
3 years
in
Folsom Prison,
which was fantastic. Believe it or not.
Really?
Yeah.
What's the experience? I just want to hear what your experience was in prison.
Well,
Oz. Goddamn Oz. You ever watch Oz?
Oh man, Oz is kindergarten, man. Oz is kindergarten.
What does Rick James think now when you're brought into Folsom? Now, that had a hell of a friggin' career.
Right,
going.
I was the last one, and I was the last one off this bus, right? And all these guys are shackled, being dropped off at prison, and I'm the last. I got this little bag. And the cop tells me, he realizes I'm Rick James, he says, wow, if I knew it was you, I would have gave you an extra bologna sandwich. And I said, well, you know, thanks a lot.
Yeah,
and I get off the bus, and these 4,000 guys are in this yard. and all of them stop and come over to the fence.
Uh-oh.
And start yelling, yeah, Rick, Mary Jane's, we'll be with Mary Jane girls, come to my cell, rah, rah, rah. And I said, uh-oh.
Like, who do I hook up with?
Who, what's really going on? But you know what? It was an experience because I grew up. I got a chance to kick the drug. I wrote close to 300 songs when I was there. I always said to myself, I needed like 2 or 3 years to clean out. You know, and I could have gotten high in prison. I mean, there's plenty of drugs in prison. But, like, you really want to get high with a bunch of dudes around, right? I'm used to getting high with 4 or 5 women, drinking Cristal in the sauna, laying in the pool, butt naked.
That's the thing. You're going from that to now you're, you know, those bars slide
down. Yeah, Bubba and everybody next door, you know.
What was going through your mind? Did you go, like, oh, my God, no, where the hell did I F up?
You know what? It took me a while to sober up, really, and by that time, I was, like, on my way to Folsom. I mean, I had gotten out of CRC, which was that narcotics prison, and I was on my way to Folsom, and reality set in, because Folsom's like a bastille. It looks like an old castle.
It's a very famous prison.
They sent me to the very worst. Well, let's send them to the worst place we can, the cesspool of the world. And Folsom was it. But and the CEOs were all rednecks. I mean, they were all guys.
Right, yeah.
They had lots whether I would survive or not. Who would be the first one to shoot me? Who would be the first one to beat me down? Who would be the first one to lock me in a hole? Who would be the first one to write me
now,
up?
Now, what did anything happen? Any stories of...
No, man, because those cats looked after me, man, and gave me more love. Even the Aryan race. I mean, even...
Really?
Even guys in the Aryan race. Because... and a lot of lifers. Because had I went in there a punk, or had I went in there stuck up, or had I went in there acting better, I probably would have been dead, you know, but I wouldn't. I mean, I'm me. I'm what I am. Mm-hmm. I'm Rick. And most of them had lived, like I met guys who had been in there 20 years, 23, 24, 25 years, man. And they had pretty much grown up to me.
Right.
On my music. Whether it was White Chicano, Eminem's, BGF, 411, Crips, Bloods, Mexican Mafia, it didn't really matter.
Bringing them all together through Rick James music.
No, man, they were in love with the Mary Jane girls, and they would ask me questions, you know, and I worked in the library, and, you know, put a lot of them down on reading and writing, and it became an experience, man. It became a really nice experience.
What'd you do to satisfy yourself? You make up one of those washcloths with a glove in there, and we heard about that. What's it called?
Man, you know black people don't do that kind of stuff.
What's that? What was it called? Do you remember?
I forgot. Homemade bandages.
No, what is it? You see, they have a good grip on it. What is it called? I don't know.
It was that thing.
I don't know what that thing is.
Rick, you take a washcloth and you wrap it up real tight.
No, man.
Shove a glove in there and lube.
I didn't have to go through that. All I had to do was call a certain lieutenant or a certain sergeant females, and they would come
at
3 o'clock.
Were you banging in prison?
Unlock the cell and take
goddamn
me to
Rick James. Wait, tell me, you were getting banged in prison?
I got what I wanted in prison, baby.
Look,
you know,
that.
Money talks with bull walks.
That's right.
I'm Rick James. What do you think I'm just going to lay there and I got these fine female security guards walking around talking about, ooh, I just loved Mary Jane. Ooh.
Hey, did they bend over on the other side of the bars for you?
No, they open the bars up and then they bend over.
I think it's more erotic if you do it through the bars.
Well, so, Frank,
well,
you want a little piece of history?
I had a cellmate. We had to kind of keep it cool.
Yeah.
So you're
but no, I mean, honestly.
What did your cellmate do while you were getting banged?
He wasn't around. They'd tell you, they would open up the cell and they would tell me to come to a room. And
oh, so it's like you're going on official business somewhere,
yeah,
you know, getting a middle meeting.
Exactly.
And then the room would come up and
go drink some wine and have some steak and, you know, eat a few other things.
Get some.
Yeah, get a little bit.
Goddamn Rick James.
For sex?
Huh?
Would they charge for the sex?
No one
charge.
Even charge.
It's Rick James.
It's Rick James.
Man, charge.
They're just doing it to get some of the Rick James.
No, what it was there were a lot of, Folsom had a lot of, like, lieutenants that were female and sergeants. You know?
Yeah.
And they had clout, you know. So if they wanted me out of my cell 2 in the morning or 3 in the morning, they would just come and, you know, say we want to talk to him in private, and that would be that. Well, you don't think I played?
Wow. Huh? Did all the other guys in the prison ask to smell your fingers when you got back? from the meetings or anything? Because that would be like, Rick, yo, put your fingers out and do that. I gotta sniff that digit. Were they using the dream cream?
No. You would have been watching Eyes too much.
Yeah.
Right? You know,
that show scares the bejesus out of me. I would never even want to go near a prison. Forget about it. Everyone seems to be getting it in the can.
Somebody told me.
Yeah, because of that show, we're not going to be torturing any girls anytime soon.
No way.
I was up for a part in Oz, and the people were telling me everyone that does a part for that has to appear nude.
That's what it seems like, right?
No, well, that's what it is. That's
yeah.
A lot. And I say, really? I said, that's totally ridiculous. I mean, it never happened, but I mean, I really didn't even want to go through that prison experience again.
Are you too shy to be nude on TV there, Rick?
No, but they're going to pay me more money than what they were offered.
He is a legendary man.
Oh, my God. We've all
legendary.
Heard the stories.
But you guys are the first guys that really, I just told you it was the truth that happened.
Yeah.
You guys are the very first guys that ever asked me that question.
Really?
I never got into that.
Well, you'll be asked tomorrow. We're ridiculous.
Because what happened was, when I left, these two lieutenants who threw me like this kind of like little party, they got fired, which was really sad.
Oh, geez.
Right after I left.
Because of what they were doing?
No, because one guy came in and he was a CO, and he was kind of taking pictures of all of us, you know, eating pizza and party, and it was the night before I left. And that was really the saddest part of the
pizza party.
Yeah, I had a pizza party before I left. That's right. I ate pizza. That's right. What do you expect, Rick James? What do you expect? I'm supposed to be in there.
I'm just thinking prison, Rick. And I'm thinking, you know.
Prison is prison, man. And if you got what you got, you get what you get.
I know it from Oz. I'm thinking Rick James in the weight room looking for someone.
Oz, I keep telling you. That's kidding.
Here comes the Aryan Nation. Look out. They're trying to shank Rick James.
You know,
Dive in front.
You know, I had one fight, man.
You did?
In CIC. It wasn't in Folsom. Against some Russian type Aryan dude, and
you choke him with your mule?
No, but I whooped him. You know what I did? I whooped his ass
real good
in the bathroom. Yeah, I did. Yeah, he suckered me about something. Me and him were having it out or something, and that was dormitory living. And he gave me a sucker. And I stood up for myself, man. I'm not a punk. Like I said, if I would have went in there acted like a punk, I would have. You know, they would have taken me as that.
Yeah. Well, there you go.
It was
Rick James
right
in prison.
Rick
what
was
about,
banging in jail.
I also want to ask you about
Linda Blair.
Linda Blair. I mean, that was something that came out of nowhere. It was like all of a sudden.
God, are we really going there today? We are really touching the subject.
I got to be honest with you.
What
I've been
do you
fascinated.
Want? What about
I'm
Linda
fascinated
Blair?
With your life. I'm fascinated with.
How did you hook up with Linda Blair today, Rick?
Okay. How did you hook up with her?
All right, me and Linda met. There was a magazine called We Magazine. Remember that?
I remember that.
Okay.
That was good spanking. Good jacking material.
Yes, it was.
Yeah.
You do a lot of spanking, man. Let me get you an old lady at the show tomorrow, man.
We was a lot better than anything else at the time, especially because they showed the roast beef shot.
The roast beef shot.
You know what I mean? The chewed hubba bubba shot.
The chewed hubba bubba.
What the? Looks like you chewed up some of that big pink bubble gum and threw it on a bubble shop floor.
Oh, that muff.
Right.
Oh, okay.
I liked that.
That vertical
mouth. It was good to get Jack into that magazine.
I don't think Rick has ever jacked in his life.
Man. No.
Oh, please. You just got to ring the bell. Oh, ladies, pop the knob, please. Rick, when did you start
Super
getting
Super freak.
No, back to that Linda Blair thing.
Yeah.
She had done a layout in We Magazine. Now, the only thing I knew about Linda Blair was I was scared to death when I saw Exorcist.
Yeah.
I'm not going to lie about it. I'm not going to sit here and try to be Macho Man.
Nah, scary
Exorcist
goddamn movie.
Square the
Whoa. Hey.
And I'm sure it did everybody who was back at that time.
Yeah.
And Linda did a layout, and she was like, it was cold-blooded. I mean, she was like, damn.
All those...
And they asked her, and along with the like the four or five page color pictures of her laying by this pool and all this other stuff, they asked her who if there was one man that you had to be with, who would you want to be with? And she said Rick James.
And that's this is an invitation for Rick in a goddamn Wee magazine.
Yeah, exactly.
Pretty much.
But you know what? In the old days, that's how actresses and actors got together.
Really? They would just say something in an interview.
They would drop hints in there.
How long did it take you to drop the magazine?
Well,
and pick up the phone,
my valet came to me. The guy was working for me. He said, "Look, Rick, read this." And I sent her some roses, and I ended up doing a wee layout too. And we met here right in New York with Mark over at Mark Fleischman's hotel, and we met
hit it off.
Well, yeah, we became really close. Yeah.
Wow, that's and then what happened with the relationship? Because you guys were together for how long?
We were together off and on for a few years. We're still very close.
Are you?
Yeah,
that's cool.
What happened to the, was it something that, did the drugs play a part, or?
I was, she was trying to stop. I mean, and she had virtually pretty much stopped. I mean, she was still drinking a little, but.
It's kind of hard to hang out with a guy who's out of control.
Well, no, I mean, she,
Did she give you any of that exorcist talk?
That F me, F me, F me.
You mean, did she roll her head around and settle like that?
Screaming the F me, F me, F me.
No. How? See, y'all got to get Linda in here to stand. See, I won't talk. I can't.
We're just
will get her in here and y'all do the same thing.
I'd love to have her in here. She's a very pretty girl. Sure.
She's a very, very sweet person.
Without any detail, I'm not going to ask you to, you know, tell tales like that.
You're not going
to
get it.
But there had to be some point, especially the first time you did get intimate, where you're like, I'm screwing the exorcist chick. It's like, I'm in a...
Holy
Jesus.
No.
See, you with your ego, you're probably like, she's probably thinking, I'm screwing Rick James. That's cool, man.
I'm not even going to touch it, man.
Yeah.
I'm not going near it.
I hear you.
She'll hear about it. She'll never speak to me again.
Yeah.
Yeah, I heard you on that show saying, you know, Rick, and I was pulling at him, stretching his muff or whatever, grabbing some gravy or whatever.
A mule and I hear you. It's a fifi, by the way.
That's good.
A fifi. Yeah, the prison badge is called a fifi.
Oh, a fifi.
The homemade badge.
The homemade
thing. Yeah, I remember.
What?
They called it a fifi.
They called it a fifi in the joint.
Some guys can't just ring up the guards and bang them in another room. They got to make a fifi.
Well, you know, hey, everybody ain't RJ. You understand? Know
I hear you.
I get the stuff. I get
that's for sure.
What you think? I'm going to go in there and let George or Bubba, like, you know, drill me?
Like I said, my only knowledge of prison is Oz. And that's all I want to even. I never want to get any closer to prison than my television set. And sometimes that's too much when they're showing the guys doing each other.
You know what? I never saw a whole Oz.
No?
Never saw a whole Oz. I see little bits and pieces every time I see it. I kind of laugh because it's always over-dramatized.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not really like, well, where I was, I mean, you have your sex, you have your Aryan race, and you have your Mexican mob, and you have your immigrant.
That's enough for me to not want to go.
And everybody does sit in their parts of the, in the kitchen or whatever. And sometimes fights break out and people get shot, but I mean, it's not, whatever. You know, it's not near as
it's prison
dramatic as
It sounds. You know something? It's Scared Straight for me. You remember that show Scared Straight, where they scared the kids by taking them into prison?
Matter of fact, don't they have a woman on there who's like who takes stuff from dudes like whenever she wants for something? And she kind of like, I'm taking you.
Oh, one of the guards,
yeah.
She comes up and just, much like Rick James.
And then the guys refuse sometimes?
Yeah, well, she's a half a pig.
Who cares really when you do 25 years? You don't care if she looks like Prince. You're going to do it.
Can I ask the question that everybody's been afraid to ask, Rick?
What?
Did you or Eddie Murphy write Party All the Time?
No, I wrote Party All the Time.
You did.
For Eddie.
You wrote that just for him?
Yeah.
Wow.
Well, the song did well at the time, Jim.
Yeah, it did, actually.
Yeah?
That song was the number one against radio's permission. Because radio didn't really want that song to go anywhere.
I got it.
I know you guys. See, you guys, Eddie was already a multi-millionaire.
Yeah.
He wasn't doing any interviews. He didn't want to talk to you guys. You guys were always trying to get him. He was saying, hell with you. And y'all didn't want to play that record. But people kept calling up, you know, those little old women who live out there who don't seem to f*** with y'all, obviously. Obviously, y'all don't have the same thing going on. Because y'all say what the f*** y'all want to say. And you get away with it. No, y'all do. Y'all get away with it. Okay, anybody else? No one else can get away with y'all get away with, but Howard Stern.
We just can't.
Nobody in the world can get away with this y'all get away with.
Wait a minute, Rick.
Now you're going to bleep me.
Hold it, Rick. We're out of dump now.
We have ran out of delay. That's hilarious.
Yeah.
We ran out of delay.
Now we're going to have to play that with all the bleeps in it.
Sometime. I know.
Every time you curse, they dump out of the show.
But you know what? You guys, man, are incredible. We have fun,
Rick.
But Rick, isn't this fun, though? You're being honest. We're asking some questions.
Man, it's fantastic.
And no one's turning off their radio because this is fascinating. We learned that Rick James was getting banged in prison.
I was already by females. I was already was like this.
Is it true your mother ran numbers for the Italian mob?
Yes, she did. She ran numbers for the gangsters. And she fed eight. She raised eight children by herself from it. From running numbers. And I'm proud to say she also played numbers, too.
Oh, yeah.
What you know that is. You go to sleep, you dream, and you wake up, and you play a number, and you hit. Well, she did that too, and she hit off all of us, and all. She made a very, very lucrative. Sent my brother to Georgetown University, top law school. Sent my sister to the top accounting school with CPA. She did very well. Yes, she did run numbers. Nice. I'm proud to say it.
Numbers runner.
Yep.
Nice. Right. Yeah, my family did that too, but I'm Italian, so it was the law.
No, we had to pay y'all.
Hey, John, you're next with Rick James. What's up?
Hey, how you doing, Mr. James? I was wondering, what do you think about MC Hammer making all that money off this song?
Well, number one, he didn't make all as much money as you think. When someone does a song of mine, they have to make a deal with my administrator. MC Hammer did about an 80-20 deal. Where he made his money was when he was touring. I make the majority of the money when they do a sample deal, okay? But what he did wrong was buying helicopters and guns for the Oakland police. And horses for $500,000.
Man, that guy knew how to spend his money.
He was a total fool. And really, the thing I'm really pissed off about, I got paid very well off that. But the thing I'm really mad about, he never ever really once said one time that, you know, it was a Rick James song.
He never, because he won awards for that song, right?
We won a Grammy together because he put himself in as one of the writers.
And he,
He never said, you know, he said, I read one magazine, he said, I took a Rick James guitar lick. What? Mm. But yes, he paid very, very well and he got very, very broke.
I say that another great behind the music was him.
Now he's a preacher.
Buying that goddamn mansion that he bought. And
now he's a preacher. And brought the Oakland police guns and helicopters. Yeah. Hey, here's somebody going to kill some more blacks. We know you need help. I know you need help. So here, you can't touch this. Go kill some more of the blacks in Oakland. Here's some helicopters and guns that I made off a Rick James record. Go kill them.
Holy, seems like you're holding a grudge there. Right?
Well, you know, hey, God bless him, City Hammer. You know, like I said, he's preaching now. They all go to God when they get broke. Even in prison, everybody gets very religious.
Yeah, huh?
They all become Muslims and Christians, and when they get out, it's, you son of a bitch.
You probably got a little more spiritual, but you didn't go the whole route, right?
Well, you know, I was born Catholic, so my head was messed up from the jump. Now I mean, no biblical spirit troubles at all, the point, man.
Right, right.
I'm a true spiritualist. I truly believe in God, and I try to stay taqwa. You know, God conscious everything I do, you know, and I just try to be a good person, man.
I think everybody was expecting after your hardships for you to come out and have the collar on and just start preaching the words of Jesus.
No. If anything, I'm just preaching for people, man, to have fun, man, and just do each other better, man. Love each other. That's
what it is. See, a lot of the Rick James songs are just all purely about effing, which I think was great.
No, you know, that is totally wrong.
Yes.
You know, that is
come
like,
on.
No, that is totally wrong. Man, I've written songs about MXIs, ICBMs, a missile. I've written songs about dropping nuclear
waste. Everyone knew what that missile was. A big slung, Rick.
Oh,
I got the metaphor. Come
I've written
on.
Songs about Mary Jane. I mean,
mm-hmm. Mary Jane slang
every,
for that.
Every song.
So, I know where you're coming
in
from.
In other words, what you're saying is every song I've ever written has to drink a little wine every now and then.
How about some weed?
What are you offering?
You got some Mary Jane? You got some good Mary Jane?
We Mongo outside now.
You got some good Mary Jane? You going to have out in front for me? Well, hey.
Hey, we got a stairwell, Rick.
We take it out to the stairwell.
What do you think of
it? It's all good.
What do you think of today's music?
Let me just put it like this. There's some rap out there that is positive, but when rappers get out there, they use the B word and the N word, and when they talk about shooting each other and they talk about AKs, that I completely frown down on, okay? Totally. So, I mean, there's probably more negative rap out there than there is positive.
See, but they'd say, we're just keeping it real.
Yeah, they can say what the hell they want to say.
They're taking it from the streets, what they grow up with.
Yeah, well, you know what?
And then putting it on
What? Most people that say the N-word have no idea what it means because it has nothing to do with black or ignorant or anything. They have no idea what it means. A nigger means foul fish in Swahili. In a world translation book, it means foul fish. It has nothing to do with ignorant. We used to call ourselves that out of an endearment thing. White people took it as a derog- sensitive thing, number one. So they don't know what the hell they're saying. Number two, every woman to me is not a bitch. My mother isn't one. My sister isn't one. And my old lady isn't one. And I hate to hear that word.
That one that says you kidnapped her is one. You can call her a bitch.
Yeah, dude, she's the only bitch I know.
Call her a C word.
That one. But, that's the only bitch I know. But the bottom line is that black music is where it is. It's basically one reason is because the government has taken musical instruments and some out of schools. So these kids don't really have a way to go. So what do? They sample and they do the best that they can. I wish that lyrically they would
start singing about mules again.
Take it to another level.
But, hey, but they argue with you that, like, you know, Rick, maybe you're just not in touch with what's going on these days.
I mean, you know what? There's nothing more going on than what it was before. There's still a ghetto. There's still poverty. There's still drug addiction. There's still racism. You know, it's the same thing, man. Ain't nothing changed. Ghetto life is the same. Okay? Now it ain't Mary Jane. Now it's endo and chronic. Now we don't pull our pants up. Now they're sagging. You know, I mean, what the hell? I mean, there's no difference, man. There's no difference. It's all, you know, now there's Michael Jordan. Okay, and now instead of Temptations, you got NSYNC. Instead of Cybertron, you got Britney Spears.
Them.
Yeah, I mean, you know, white music and Latino. Thank God, too, because Latino, I mean, I'm glad to see so many Latins finally making it. But, I mean, white people have basically taken over R&B. I mean, R&B is basically on the back end.
Just that wimpy stuff like NSYNC and
NSYNC and Backstreet and Britney Spears.
Rick,
and
no one's listening, crap. Man.
People do. That's selling millions of records, man. You know,
it's 12 and 13 year olds, maybe.
Well, you know, but we were 12 and 13 year old, you know, at one time.
And you were having sex, right?
I was having sex when I was 9 years old, man. I was knocking it out.
You know,
Wait, 9 years old.
Wait, slow down. We got to hear the story.
Nine.
You didn't lose it at 9.
Yeah, I did.
Holy jeez.
To who?
A girlfriend of my sister. I wrote a song about called Ghetto Life. A girl named Nancy.
You know what's interesting, too? His age matched how many inches he was packing at the time, too. Which is so disturbing for me as a white guy.
You know what? It's funny because a lot of guys talk about their first time. They act like they're Don Juan. The first time I ever had sex, I put it in every orifice I could. I didn't know what put it in, man. And then when I thought his big climax was coming, I leaped up out and ran to the corner of the basement and thought I was going to the bathroom. Nothing came out, so I went back in. And that is the living truth.
God damn it, that's funny.
That's true, man.
Look, I don't know what they dumped out of. We will replay that with
you. You didn't know.
Soap.
Well, he didn't know the sensation that was coming up was him getting ready to finish.
Nice.
So he got out of the bed. Ran away into the corner.
It wasn't a bed. It was a human being, man. There you go. There you go again. There you go again.
I was just trying to clean it up a little bit.
Go with that muffin and move again.
The fee. So he thought he had to do
go to the bathroom.
No, she was a friend of my sister's, and it was really.
How old was she?
She was 14. And wow. She's a friend of my older sister.
Woman.
And it happened in the projects in Buffalo. And, you know, I'm very.
Fruit Street.
Maybe that's why I've always had a thing for older women or something. I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah. Muffin the move.
Muffin the move.
Slapping the
and
shit.
Jacking.
Hey, Dave, what's up?
Hey.
What's up,
how you guys
Dave?
Doing, man?
Hey. Happening, man.
Having fun, man. Moving
to me. About the food and whatnot. So, can he contend with Luke Chamberlain's title?
Yeah, how many girls have you banged if you had to get
now, you know what? Will Chamberlain was a lion mother and bleeper. Do you believe Will Chamberlain?
He said over 10,000.
You know what? I wouldn't, you know, number one, I wouldn't even want to take a stupid-ass guess like that. Number one, Will is a liar, God rest his soul up there, you know, or down wherever he is. 10,000 women. Yeah. I mean, the guy is 9 feet tall. What are you, in midgets? The only thing. Every time I saw him, he was alone with his... in his hand, you know? I mean, whenever I ran into him, he was alone.
Yeah.
I don't know where these 10,000 women come in at.
Yeah, if you do the math, it works out. He would just have to be effing every second of the
every
day.
Every second. Yeah. I mean, he could barely play basketball, let alone, I mean, you know, ball. I mean, real ball.
Did you ever party with Ozzy Osbourne?
No, but I know Ozzy very well, and Ozzy's really nice. No, I never did. Never did.
Mm. He always asks that. He's a huge
Ozzy, love Ozzy. Yeah.
You can tell, right, by looking at him?
Ozzy's pretty sick right now, man. He's not doing all that.
You have any regrets, Rick James?
Do you have any regrets?
Any regrets at all?
And then I never got my hands on Kim Basinger that night, so I couldn't.
Oh.
No.
Hey, we have
any regrets.
That night you could have.
I could have.
Listen to that.
Moved them up, yeah.
Really?
No.
But you went home and jacked it.
I jacked it good.
Hey, Ozzy wants to say something to Rick James.
Ozzy. Hello, guys. How are you?
Hello, Ozzy.
Hello, Rick James. How are you, man?
How are you, baby?
Man. I'm all right. I'm doing okay, man. You ever hear some of my music, man? It's a little different than your style, but you know, since we're both in the industry, you know, I was just wondering, you know, Ozzy Osbourne.
Well, he just said he kind of knows you, Ozzy. He doesn't sound good.
Who, me or Rick James?
You, Ozzy. You sound a little confused.
You know, I'm a little tired. I've had stuff going on, you know. You might have heard about some stuff, but, you know, I'm just...
You sound like you need a drink.
I quit drinking with Rick James, I'll meet you at a bar.
Ozzy.
We have a little contest.
Ozzy, freebase or crack? What do you like?
I like the freebase, man.
Yeah. I can tell that. With a little acid mixed in it, right?
No,
a little acid, a little THC?
No, that might ruin it, Rick.
No. It heightens it. It heightens the hallucinations. So when you start whooping and burning them, it gives you more of a Marquis de Sade type feeling.
Oh, my God. That would be insane.
Yeah.
Acid. All right, guys. We're going to freebase.
And a little bit of THC. Maybe a Special K, either one. If you don't have THC, Special K.
That's all you need. The monsters you see can run faster. Great, Rick.
Hey, Bill, what's up?
Hey, how you guys doing?
Hey, Bill.
Hey, love your show.
Cool.
Thank you, Bill. I look forward to it every day, getting off work, driving home so I can listen to you guys. You guys crack me up.
You listen to these guys every day?
Oh,
are you okay?
Isn't that sad, Rick?
What, 45-year-old, bald, middle-aged guy growing up in Ohio? Listened to your stuff growing up, had a big impact on my life.
Well, I hope
to give you the respect.
Well, thank you very much, man. And I hope you got plenty of on over.
Hey, speaking of which, Malik lost his virginity to one of your songs there. Malik, what's up?
Yo, what's up?
What's up, Malik?
Yo, I want to give a shout out to Rick, man. Yo, I lost my virginity on that dude. That's my idol.
Yo, Malik, check this out. That's good, man, because that's what we're here to please. You understand?
Yeah, no doubt. You know what I'm saying?
You understand? Keep it real, baby, all the time. You understand me?
What was the tune, man?
It was terrific. Yo, just hearing you on the radio just revised me. I had to come home and twist something up in memory of old great Rick.
I understand. You know, twist it up and smoke it. You understand? And like while you do, you know, think of busting out. You understand what I'm saying?
Malik.
Yo.
You're from Asbury Park?
From Asbury. I'm the cat that was on the phone with y'all a while ago trying to get hooked up with Chrissy.
I just got to ask you something. Is it true that the U.S. Army invaded Asbury Park because they thought it was Afghanistan? I heard that. The helicopters landed, troops came out, and actually, in some cases, came under more fire in Asbury Park than they have been in Afghanistan. Is that true, Malik?
Nah, it wasn't the Afghanis. It wasn't the Army. It was Rick James and his crack posse, yo.
Yo, see, there you go,
that's
man.
That's cold now.
Matter of fact, you can't come. Yo, man, check this out.
Hey, yo, Rick.
Don't show your face at the joint, baby, okay?
Hey, yo, Rick, don't do that to me,
no,
bro.
No, come on, baby, because I got somebody who's like 6'7" with muscles and he's dying to meet you.
Yo, I'm only 5'4".
No, well, why you want to come with the crack jokes, man? Come on. Now, didn't we just finish explaining? Crack is for poor folks, but free base for rich folks?
You're right, Rick.
Okay, say you sorry, Malik.
I'm sorry.
All right, assalamu alaikum, my brother.
We'll see you tomorrow.
All right.
Hold on.
Malik, I'm sorry.
Well, Rick, we're being told to get you out of here.
Yeah, Rick, man, thanks
you know what?
So much.
All I can say is, man, I've had one of the greatest experiences, the greatest times on radio with you guys,
it's
man.
It's been a lot of fun, man.
Let me tell you, thank you for being honest and open with us.
Yeah, you guys are the same, man.
Most guys like yourself,
I thought I was going to come into we'll see a bunch of just square white boys behind a microphone. And I find I got a brother over here who's whooping them up. And
they don't know what they're doing.
Pulling it after all the watching eyes. I'm loving you guys.
And you learned about Fifi's today.
And I'm worried about Fifi's.
Rick James, wow, man. Everyone, man.
This Friday, the 55-gallon drum challenge.
It was in my mouth. It
replayed in its entirety. On the Opie and Anthony Show. And EW.
Opie and Anthony. 1027.
WNEW.
Well, Anthony, we've got to get into Mike Tyson.
Well, you could get into Mike Tyson.
I'll get into you without any lube.
This guy is downright scary.
He's a madman. He is an insane madman, and they know it. Like, they keep him all doped up until he's got a fight.
Well, what is he taking? He's taking, like, Zoloft or something. That mellows you out pretty good. And, you know, a couple weeks leading up to the fight or a week leading up to the fight, they take him off this stuff, so he's a lunatic in the ring.
Yeah. So he'll kill you.
So he's fighting Andrew Gallata, who's just a big scumbag and deserves whatever Tyson could throw at him. Gallata? One of the dirtiest fighters in the history of boxing, Rick.
Oh, yeah, up against such an upstanding guy as Tyson.
No, I understand that. That's why this is going to be a pretty good fight.
Yeah.
Gallata likes to hit guys in the ballies. That's his whole move. He's wrecked his whole career by hitting guys in the ballies when he's winning fights. So he's just as psychotic as Tyson.
I thought I could bring a gun into the ring.
There should be a huge fence around the ring so he doesn't hurt the spectators.
A cage match, only the audience is in the cage to protect right. them.
Come on out, you pussies. I'll chew right through that chain link.
Hey, Mr. Tyson,
yeah.
While we have you in the studio, how do you spell Zoloft?
Zoloft. R-O-L-A-I-D-S. I don't know. How do you spell it? I don't know, but you better give me some quick. And why do I have this tag in my ear? I woke up with a tag in my ear with a number and a radio transmitter on my back. I think that it was to track my migration habits. I want to know where Mike goes in between fights. I like, in the warm weather, I go north. And in the cold weather, I go south. And they track me with my little antenna on my back. But sometimes I rub against a tree and dislodge it. And they have to tranquilize me and put a new transmitter on my back. That's when I need more Zoloft. You ever see him do that on the Wild Kingdom show with the bear? They give him the tranquilizer, and all of a sudden his lip gets all loopy and his tongue sticks out of his mouth? You want to see when the Mike Tyson looked like that? They had to pull me out of a cave once with a come-along, and they measured me and pulled one of my toofers out to see how old I was. Then they woke me up, and you should have saw them bastards run when I started coming to. They ran for the hills. They was petrified.
I'm on the Zoloft thing, right? But I'm on that to keep me from killing y'all.
Yeah. You better give me more. I remember once I was looking for food at the local dump. And it was dangerous for the children, so they put me in a cage on the back of a pickup truck and relocated me. But I kept coming back because that was some tasty-ass garbage. You can't keep me away from a good old Swanson TV dinner half-eaten thing at the dump. I love that ass.
Jesus Christ. I got one for you.
Yeah.
You think that crocodile hunter has balls? Give him some Zoloft and have him wrestle with Tyson to feed him the Zoloft to calm him down. Then I would be impressed. Screw those goddamn alligators he's wrestling with.
Crocodiles are pussies.
Right.
They can't even punch.
Damn crocodile hunter. Let's see you take care of Tyson. Get some Zoloft in him.
See, the funny thing about the Tyson jaw is its power isn't in opening, it's in closing. So you could actually hold it shut with your bare hands, but don't let it open because I'll take your fingers off. Fingers off, Zoloft, whatever.
Rick's on the floor.
I know.
Come here, you little Aussie bastard.
He's ready to go into a death fight.
He's going into a death row.
All right. Yes.
I'm reverting myself to Hannibal Lecter. I need like a muzzle or something. Some Zoloft.
Let's take a break.
All righty.
and we'll be back.
Coming this spring
on the Opie and Anthony Show.
Bikini Softball 2, The Return of WOW, Jim Norton's World Tour, Sex for Sam, WOW Stop, all coming this spring on the Opie and Anthony Show. N-E-W.
Opie and Anthony.
1027 WNEW.
Richard Nixon is in the news.
Yes.
And we'll talk about it.
Got to it.
Well, the tapes were released.
Yeah, they're playing them all over CNN.
From 1972. Everyone remembers the Nixon tapes from Watergate, that 8-minute gap and all the controversy of that. And it turned out, it came out that Nixon had taped like every minute of him in the White House. He had secret microphones. This guy was one of the most paranoid, scared of communism, anti-Semite. He was a racist. A very bigoted man. And he was, quite frankly, the most insane president we ever had.
And Ben Stein wrote for him.
Ben Stein. His father and himself, Ben Stein's father and Ben Stein, were speechwriters for Dick Nixon. And Dick Nixon was one of the biggest anti-Semites ever. Yet Ben Stein got pissed at us because he thought I made a Jewish slur once. A little bit of hypocrisy there. I bet if we cut Ben a check, he wouldn't have gotten as upset. But for some reason, he could hang around while Tricky Dick was like,
Ben, I need a speech. I need a speech about how the peace talks are going in Nam. Write something clever. I know you Jews can be clever and crafty. Write something that covers up the truth. You Jews are good liars.
A bunch of tapes came out. And it's everything from him defending women being groped to faking of napalm photos to the kicker, man. I love this one. Nixon was fixing to nuke Vietnam.
Groovy. Let me smoke a joint and we'll drop the big one.
And what did Kissinger say?
I don't think that's a good idea. Maybe we...
Shut up, you Jaime. I'm the president. President anti-Semite.
Yeah. In 72.
Smoke up, Hank. Smoke up and forget about everything. When I... Oh, that was harsh. When I smoke up, Henry, until you talk, I almost forget you're a dirty heeb.
So in 72, Kissinger and everyone else laid out his options for stepping up the war in Vietnam. Kissinger had these proposals like attacking power plants and docks and whatnot. Here's what Nixon says. He goes,
I'd rather use the nuclear bomb.
I mean, did this guy understand if we had dropped a bomb on Vietnam, China and the Soviet Union would have reamed us a new ass? And then right when he said, I'd rather use the nuclear bomb, Henry Kissinger goes,
that I think would just be too much.
Jesus, of course. And then Nixon goes,
the nuclear bomb, does that bother you?
I just want you to think big. Think big like your Jew knows.
And then he didn't drop the bomb, obviously, but he ordered the biggest escalation of the war since 68. He later added that,
I want to decimate that goddamn place. North Vietnam is going to get reordered. It's about time. It's what should have been done a long time ago.
Boy, in hindsight, the guy was absolutely right. They should have nuked him.
Ben, get your Jew dad, Ben, and write me a speech. Write me something that'll get me out of trouble for nuking the little yellow slopes. Take this down, Ben. Dear Gooks, I apologize for the crater that was previously your nation. We will do everything to fill it with Coca-Cola factories and McDonald's. Signed, etc., etc., blah, blah. Fill in the blanks, Jaime.
And our love become a funeral pyre.
Nuke it. And then at one point, Nixon gets pissed at Kissinger because Kissinger's too concerned about civilian casualties.
He goes, I don't give a damn. I just don't care. They're not even human. You ever see them with their slanty little eyes? Sloped heads.
The guy was certifiably insane, and he was running the goddamn country. Then there's this little transfer that they got on tape. 72 again. There was some problem with Nixon's ambassador to France getting roaring drunk and groping flight attendants on a trip home from Paris. Now, nowadays, this guy would have been gone in a second. It would have been a huge scandal story. But they asked the president about it after a Jack Anderson column regaled readers with graphic accounts of the ambassador's behavior on the flight to Washington. And you know what Nixon's answer was?
Look, people get drunk.
And he's feeling up the flight attendant.
People chase girls. At the point it is, it's a hell of a lot better for them to get drunk than to take drugs. And it's better to chase girls than boys.
But he said,
I don't like the homos. At least he's not grabbing my... So you get a little boozed up and grab a... or two. I've been known to reach over and grab a flight attendant's every so often.
Oh, my God!
It keeps them on their toes. Get me a drink or I'll put my thumb in your hole. I'm the president.
Hey, Nixon, you're stealing Brokaw's bit.
Brokaw, another liberal communist. I'll bury a digit in your...
Bobby Big Rigger.
Yeah, I wanted to ask Tricky Dictor, how do you go about nuking the women and children?
Easy. You just don't lead them as much.
Oh, okay. Got it. Thanks, guys.
If they run, they're VC. If they stand still, they're well-disciplined VC. Nuke the whole country.
That's his stand on the groping. Then this is great. Who can forget the picture of the young, naked Vietnamese girl running down the street after her village, Trang Bang?
I believe her name was Kim Phuc.
Kim Phuc. Kim Phuc. F. No. P-H.
U-C.
U-C is her name. Kim Phuc. She's a gook. Her name is Phuc. Phuc the gook. Phuc them all, I say.
She's running out of Trang Bang Village. Turns out, oops, You know, we dropped a napalm and it hit a village. And now people don't seem as concerned when we have that. It's called collateral damage, right? It happens. We were napalming a village, and one went awry and napalmed a little innocent village. It's not very funny. Well, everyone was horrified. It was pretty much one of the turning points of the war. Here's Nixon.
I wonder if that picture was fixed.
He thinks...
Oh, my God.
He thinks it was a doctored propaganda photo.
Come on. It looks like a glamour shot at the mall.
He talked to his chief of staff, H.R. Haldeman, about that. And Haldeman said, could have been.
I want to consult H.R. on this.
H.R. Haldeman, sir?
No, H.R. Puffin Stuff.
H.R.
Puffin Stuff. He's your friend when things get rough. H.R. Puffin Stuff. You can't do a little, but you can't do enough. Get me H.R. Puffin Stuff on the boat.
Once upon a summertime, just a dream from yesterday.
Ben, write me a speech on how I'm appointing H.R. Puffin Stuff as chief of staff.
No, it's H.R. Haldeman, sir.
And I want Puffin Stuff. I want the Navy put in charge of the charge of Sigmund the Sea Monster. Get me Jimmy's magic flute. We'll nuke them all. Oh, the witch, yes. We can fly her over North Vietnam. Bomb them into the Stone Age.
All right, I'm having an acid flashback of this music.
I love this song.
What if we strap a nuke to Witchy Poo and fly a ride into North Vietnam? Hanoi will pay.
Oh, God.
I love that song.
So just hours of fun, tricky, dicky tapes.
Write me a speech. Hey, Jaime. She was a hot, naked little fook. Look at that little fook run. Hey, HR, look. She's running like her ass is on fire. Oh, it is. I think it's fixed.
There must be some kind of way out of here.
I think it's that Lucasfilm Industrial Lights and Magic. What? 4 more years?
There's too much confusion.
They faked that little fluke. That's a pretty big hit for a Jew, Henry. Don't bogart the bomb. Leave it to a Jaime like you to take all my pot. I got this herb, it's great. I got it from Elvis. He's a drug addict. And I put him in charge of the DEA. Bring in that faggot Haldeman. I keep it in my snatch panty. It's a great idea. It's going to take off someday, trust me. Take some E. Look, I got a glow stick in my mouth, Henry. Dance with me. Dance with me.
You're crazy.
And you're a kike. I am an anti-Semite. You won't have Dick Nixon to kick around anymore. I'm raving, Henry. I'm raving. Bring some of your Jew bitches. I hear they suck a mean one. Till you marry them. Ho ho. Waddle doodle.
Oh, wow.
Bravo. There you go. I can't wait to hear all the tapes. We would play them, honestly, but they are such bad quality. They're playing them on some of the news things. You can't even hear them.
Can't understand.
There's subtitles so you could read it. I mean, the tape is from 72.
It may be
kept
just
in his drawer.
I slept with it under my pillow because the crafty Jews might have stolen it.
I think the translator's just making up things.
They could.
I think he's saying nuke Vietnam here.
Half of it says inaudible.
Right. Inaudible. And then I banged Kelly LeBar Brock with Leif Garrett. It was the 70s. It was a different time. Now I have a 13-year-old daughter. I turn it off.
Were you sitting at the beach with your pals waiting for the F-word?
Waiting for the F-word during the Rolling Stones.
Oh,
me and Henry and Ben Stein and his father. I said, hey, what's he saying, Jew? I'm crazy. Bang, ba-dang, bang. Bang, bang. I'm Tricky Dick, and I'm crazy. It's Friday. Bang, bang, ba-dang. Come here, checkers. Get crazy with me, checkers. Bang, bang. Come on, Henry. Come on, Henry. Beat the drum with your nose, Jew. Bang, bang, bang. Bang, bang. I want to nuke the goose all day. I don't want to work. This is a lying naked spook. That spook is a lying gook. Bang, bang, bang. Nuke the gook. Come on, dance with me, Henry. Give me some more pot. We're raving. I don't want to work. Come on. Where's G. Gordon Liddy? Liddy, get me some acid. I know you can do it. You effed up the whole Watergate thing for me, Liddy.
Justin, what's up?
Hey, I want to bang, 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 bang.
Go crazy with me, Justin. Are you a Jew?
Bang, 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 bang,
bang, bang, bang,
bang, bang,
bang, bang, up the Ho Chi Minh Trail. Spook, spook the gook. Spook is a lying naked gook.
Kelly, what's going on?
Hi, Azza, how you doing?
All right.
Can we sing it?
Yeah, shut up, bitch. I'm going to eat your lunch.
Yo, go ahead.
Sing. Where are my niggas?
Go ahead, Kelly.
Okay, ready?
Yeah.
Everyone knows bitches can't think.
Bobby or Bobber, what's up?
Hey, I wanted to know if Mr. President would favor us with his real sex old man moan.
Oh.
Oh, God. The only thing that could be worse is Kissinger's.
I'm raving. Hey, can we play What's in Gook Fook's Pants? What for I win? Hey, when did you burn that off this morning? Hey, it's not like I was flying the place.
Calm down, Rich.
If we nuke the whole place.
All right. There you are. Dick Nixon's tapes released. Have fun with them.
All right.
All right.
This Friday, the 55-gallon drum challenge.
Ew, it's in my mouth. Ew, ew, ew.
Replayed in its entirety. On the Opie and Anthony Show. N-E-W.
I'll be playing the part of Pharrell.
And we're trying to order food and restaurant.
Excuse me, waitress. I'd like...
Pharrell needs some menu right now. Pharrell's got to get a menu. He got some the appetizers. Maybe a soup of the day. I'll tell you what. What's your entree today? You got any specials going? I need food. 100 miles an hour. Here we go. And over here, the dessert. I'm taking a chocolate milk. Maybe we'll do that. And an espresso. Because I need energy. Go 100 miles an hour.
Sports in the Morning with Pharrell. Tomorrow, live at 545, 1027. WNEW.
Opie and Anthony.
1027. WNEW.
Yeah. Marilyn Manson. Disposable team. Look who's in the studio. Wendy from the 55-gallon drum challenge.
Yes.
She's also been in the Feels for Meals box a few times, Anthony.
Yes.
Today was supposed to be the big day of our huge promotion, Feels for Meals, but, well, I think you know the story by now. That
yes.
old gag
didn't pan out.
I gotta come support you guys. So.
Bunch of pussies Thank around you. Here that don't know how to make things happen. Just want to find ways why we shouldn't do things.
Excuses and scapegoats. That's what we have.
So Wendy's going to get into the Fields for Meals box because
yes,
we got
I
a
am.
Couple guys from Penthouse taking photographs for their website, Anthony.
Nice.
Because next Tuesday our Penthouse interview comes out.
Yes.
A lot of people looking forward to that. We're looking forward to that. And all right, Wendy, get in the goddamn
Ready?
Box.
All right.
They never take their top off before they go in the box.
Yeah, notice that.
I know.
Wait, what? Hold on.
Wait, hold on. Who's a brother?
Hold on. Let's step on the brake pedal real quick.
You can't check out your sister if you're
I'm
in here.
I'm not looking.
I'm not going to look.
Dude, you're her brother.
Yes.
And she is...
Blood brother?
Yes.
Topless.
Dude, you got to, like, do
in
it.
In the
man.
Box.
No, man.
You wouldn't feel your sister's boobies?
No.
Why not?
No.
Rick, break out the prize list.
What do we got? Dude, what would you do?
What would it take?
What would it take to get
feel up your own sister?
Feel up your sister.
No. Mm-mm.
$50?
Rick, Ben, what do we have?
We've got a Darth Vader coffee mug.
Oh. You want $50 to touch your sister's boobs?
See, you idiots from yesterday abusing us because we're talking about prizes, and you're like, hey, you guys don't need prizes. You guys just continue making us laugh. Who cares about prizes? This is why we need prizes. If we had something cool, this guy would be feeling up his own sister.
Yeah.
But instead, we got a coffee mug to offer him.
What would it take?
Brewer tickets.
Brewer tickets.
Oh,
we can do that. We can absolutely get you
Brewer
tickets.
Brewer tickets. For Irving Plaza, December 9th. We're all going.
Brewer ticks.
That, so telling Dad.
That's all right.
Wendy, what do you need? She's cute and stuff. Even though she's your sister.
Have you ever seen your sister naked?
No.
No?
No.
Wendy?
Do you think she's cute?
Yeah.
She's my sister.
What do you need for this to happen?
What? No.
Brewer ticks.
Brewer tickets?
Dude, we'll give you Brewer tickets if you reach in the box and just cop a feel off your sister.
It's one of the hottest tickets in town.
Oh, my. Jeff, are you kidding me?
Can we meet him?
Why not?
Meet and greet?
Yeah, we will get you. We'll get, believe me.
Before I answer, don't go to the next level on us. I know what you guys do here.
No.
This is where it ends. You get the tickets and the meet and greet backstage, yes. But that's it. Don't say,
Tickets, meet and greet. You put your hands in. But now somebody's got to confirm because he could just put his hands in.
Put my shirt on?
No.
What?
Well, no.
My brother.
Yeah, but that's okay.
That's why it's, you know, cool.
Oh, like people haven't squeezed their sister's boobs.
Wendy, you're topless in there?
Yes.
All right.
What's your name?
Jeff.
Sir?
Jeff?
Jeff.
All right.
Jeff. Step over to the box. Cop a feel.
You know what maybe we should do to ease her up a little bit?
What?
Maybe we line up all the guys to the side so she can't see who's walking up.
Oh, yeah. You got to guess which hands are your brother's. How's that?
What does she get if she
gets
them right?
Wait, put a blindfold on her.
What does she get if she gets them right?
If she gets it right, then you guys get to meet Jim Brewer backstage. How's that?
She'll get it right.
Oh, like I know my brother's hands.
All right, wow. Get back out of the box. We got to put him.
Something tells me the feel won't be as passionate as everybody else's. Yeah.
We got to put a blindfold on you.
Yeah, put a blindfold on.
Get Stinky in here. We need a bunch of different hands.
But now someone is going to have to look in.
Get black hands, too.
Oh. Someone's going to have to look in and make sure that there's contact. And it's not just an errant little brush of a nip.
No, Rick, you can
you
do
gotta
it.
You got to grab on.
Rick, you can do it from the back door, right?
Wait, hey. Wait a minute. We're just talking to...
No, Ope, that's not
the back door of the box.
He just said a BJ with Mark. Oh, I thought we were talking about that still. Sorry.
Don't marry me, Ope.
Carlos.
Hello.
Hey, Carlos.
What's going on, ONA?
Hey, we're I don't know.
That is disgusting what you guys are doing right
now. Hey, shut up. You're going to ruin it. Don't ruin it, Carlos. Shut up. You'll be listening.
Wait. Check his ID. That's not even his sister.
Shut up. You're ruining it. But they want to go see Brewer, man.
No, they're brother and sister. You can tell.
All right, thank you. I'm hanging up.
Hang up on him. He's going to ruin it. You're going to ruin it.
All right, Wendy is blindfolded.
She's blindfolded in the box.
Oh, God. Michelle, what's up?
You guys, I love you to death, but you've reached an all-time low.
No.
Where are you
going? This is a sin. I have a brother, and there's no way on God's earth I would let him do this to me.
Hey, shut up. You would do it for Jim Brewer tickets?
Right.
No, I'm telling you. There's not a chance. I'll be in therapy for the rest of my life.
Oh, you're all hung up.
And you'll be...
I don't want my brother to touch me.
You got hang-ups.
You'll be listening. Who's going away?
Come on.
There's nothing else to listen to in the afternoon.
Right.
Where are you going? To listen to a rack deck?
All right, here he goes.
Somewhere
in the line.
No, hold on.
What's up, Op?
Stinky. Wait. All right, we're lining up the guys.
Yeah.
All right, hold on. We got Wendy in the box. Wendy, you topless?
Yes. Yeah.
All right. All right, you guys are guaranteed the Jim Brewer tickets. If you guess which one is your brother feeling you up, you get to meet Jim Brewer backstage. What's wrong, Stink?
What's the matter, Stinky? You're even disgusted by the show today?
Yeah, I feel bad about this.
No.
Shut up, Yurini.
All right. Sorry. You cannot say a word. No saying a word. And no, like, little Morse code tweaks or anything. You just got to do what everyone else does. What we will do here, gentlemen, you will step up to the box, put your hands in, grab a hold, give a little, you know, juggle, little bouncy bounce, little feelage, little brushing with the hands, and then you step away. And then the next guy goes. And if we can contain ourselves when the brother comes up, it'll be an effing miracle.
All right, wait. Because I don't even want to look. I think one, two, three, five. We have one, two, okay, yeah, we do have six. Six guys.
Yeah.
This is what we should do. Everyone gets a feel.
Right.
Give each one of these guys a number, and then Wendy's got to guess what number was the brother.
Why is everyone so quiet?
Because Rick's giving out the numbers. Wendy doesn't know if you go, you're one, you're two, you're three, you're four. She's blindfolded.
Okay.
All right.
Are we ready?
Oh, I'm not looking over at the box. I'm just going to laugh at every person that steps up to the box.
Right.
All right.
She can't see a damn thing, and her shirt is totally open.
This game is called Guess Which one is your brother feeling you up?
Feeling you up. Now, very popular game in South Carolina.
Okay.
Rick, or somebody, the most important part of this is confirmation of contact.
Okay.
You can't really see once arms go in that hole.
Right.
So someone has to look.
And Ben, keep that mic on Wendy. Okay. Number one.
Number one, step right up to the box.
And Wendy, don't say anything until everyone has felt you up.
There's no talking. No talking.
Number one.
All right.
Wendy?
I can hardly hear you guys.
All right.
All right.
That was that guy felt you up, right?
Yeah.
All right.
All right.
Number two. Step up to the box.
Step up. And he puts his arms in. Rick, can you see back there?
Confirmed.
Okay. Very good. There is number two. All right. Number three is stepping up to the box. Both hands, sir.
All right. Did number three fill you up, Wen?
Yeah.
Okay. Number four? All right.
Number four.
Number five?
Number five.
Did number five feel you up?
That's confirmed.
Yeah.
Rick, you've seen everyone feel her up?
I've seen everybody so far grab
one. And finally, number six?
Yep.
All right, here comes number six. All right, and here's number seven. People are coming in the studio. Number seven. All right, okay. All right, Wendy, everyone in the studio has felt you up.
Uh-huh.
All right, you already have Jim Brewer tickets for Irving Plaza December 9th. We're all going. And your brother has tickets as well. For the backstage passes to meet Jim Brewer, which number was your brother?
Between three and four. Four?
Oh.
Three?
Oh.
All right. Is that your final answer? You need one.
Would you like three and four to feel you up again?
Yeah, maybe you got to get three and four again.
Yeah, three and four
again.
Yeah,
three and four.
You seem a little confused. You seem a little confused. So, number three, if you could step up to the box
number
again.
Number three, up to the box. Now, three and four, two hands. Both of you.
Yeah, that was the. I think three and four were the ones that used the one-hand combo.
All right. That might have caused the confusion. Both hands.
All right, once again,
three and four.
It's down to three or four. Which one is Wendy's brother? All right, that's number three. Did number three fill you up?
Yep.
All right, and number four. All right, Wendy. For the meet and greet with Jim Brewer, which one was your brother?
Three.
Yes! Number three, you called up your sister. God, this show rules. Oh, oh my God. How did you know it was three? Wendy.
Oh. Oh. Oh.
Wendy, how'd you know?
Wendy, how did you know?
Really quick. It was a real quick hand.
It was four was pretty quick, too.
Right.
And how was it feeling up your sis?
Yeah, how are they?
What do you think, though? No, really. Like, how did they feel?
No comment.
No comment?
No.
Did you, like, as far as boobs go, if they weren't attached to your sister, would they be nice?
I haven't even thought of it. And I don't want to think of it that way right now.
Why? You got to.
No.
All right.
God, who is listening to this?
All right, hands down or pants now.
No.
If you guys make out, we'll give you tickets for Jay Moore. Rascals West Orange, Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
Love you, Jay, but no thank you.
Well, how did that feel now with your brother's hands?
Very, very awkward.
On your boobs.
They're not even looking at each other now.
They're pretty nice, though, right? Dude, you got to fess up. Take yourself out of it emotionally like you're a Vulcan.
We've seen your sister's boobs. They're nice.
Yeah, they're nice.
Good for her.
Yeah, whip them out. Let's see.
Yeah.
Take a look. They're just breasts. Look.
Look at that.
Look.
Mm-hmm.
Take a look.
Nah.
He will not turn around.
They're nice.
He'll feel them, though. Won't turn around and look. Wow.
That rocks.
Dude, can you imagine the dreams both of them were going to have?
You guys already gave me torturous nightmares before. Now I'm doing it again.
Wow.
God. Every time I come on the show.
Unbelievable.
Thanks, guys.
You all right now?
Yeah?
You felt up your sister, and all it cost us was a couple tickets.
And a meet and greet. Wait until Brewer finds out why he's meeting and greeting you. He might ask for a live demonstration. Wow. As far as how many boobs have you touched? A lot? Or?
Oh, my God.
A few?
Hmm.
Oh, my God. Wait a minute. He's
Oh, no.
Wait a minute.
You're married?
You're married.
Oh, what a great way to feel other people's boobs.
You just cheated with your sister.
You cheated with your sister, dude. What a great way to get around that loophole that you can't touch other boobs when you're married.
God, can
hey, it's my sister.
Can I break the news to your wife?
No.
Maybe she's giving a handy to her brother. No, I'm kidding. Come on, now stop.
Dude, he's a big guy. Be careful.
I know.
Bob, what's up?
You guys are effing sick bastards.
Hey, we didn't touch our sister's boobs.
That's right.
What you guys do is unbelievable.
All right, thank you, Bob.
Hey,
that's
nice.
Let's bring in the incest couch.
All right.
Oh, Jesus. The incest couch.
I just hope Jeff doesn't call his wife by his sister's name.
James, what's up?
Guys, this guy is going right to hell.
Why?
Are you kidding me?
Oh, they're just boobs. You know,
yeah.
In some countries,
he's
that's
married,
common.
And he's feeling up his sister?
Some states.
And Rick, you can confirm that he felt up Wendy, his sister.
Yeah, not only once, but twice.
That's right. Twice.
Right to hell. There's no coming back for this guy.
Rick, what a technique did he use? Was it the fingers up grab or the fingers underneath the bottom kind of bounce them a little?
It was more like when you're sticking your hand into some place you're not sure where it's supposed to go.
Right.
So it was just kind of one hand.
Yeah.
And then he quickly grabbed so he wouldn't get bit by the snake and pulled out.
Pulled his hand out, right. And they were nice, though, right? Firm and...
All right, wonderful.
Let's go for the...
Wonderful, see?
Let's go for the Dirty Sanchez.
Oh, God damn.
Well, you guys got the backstage.
Very good.
For Jim Brewer.
Yeah.
Wendy.
There you go.
Wendy and her brother on the O&A show.
Nice.
Thank you, guys.
God damn, that rolled. This show has just taken so many twists and turns into depravity. Love it. You fit right in. Be proud.
You guys know so.
Be proud.
All right, we got to take a quick break. We'll be back. 212-757-1027. Look who's coming through the door, Anthony.
Huh?
Reverend Al coming through the door, Anthony.
Oh, really?
I think he has some commentary on the Danny Glover Blacks Can't Get Cabs in New York.
Does he?
I believe so. So
well, where's his music?
Well, there's his music, and here he comes through the door, everyone. Reverend Al!
Outraged! I am outraged! Outraged! Where are the lesbians? Who gives a crap about no taxicab? I can't believe that Oaky from Muskogee wouldn't show her boobage. What the hell's going on?
I don't know.
And Rick sounds like a goddamn pervert in there.
Yeah, he sure does.
Rick's more disgusting than the movie.
Hey, Reverend Al, you want to see some white boobies?
Well, I like to stick to my black sisters.
Yeah.
But what the hell?
All right.
Since she's here,
all right.
Let's see some dairy. Oh, yeah. Yeah, baby. Reverend Al likes that. That's why Reverend Al likes coming here.
There you go.
To the Obie and Anthony show. But I'm outraged.
Now, what are you outraged about today?
Why can't a black man get a taxi cab in New York City?
I don't know.
Our own black girl had trouble early in the program.
Yeah.
Even your Reverend Al has been turned down trying to get a taxi cab. I can't get to dinner. I'm outraged. Reverend Al's got to be fed. Stop that car, you towel head. I am starting my own taxi cab service for the community.
Oh, yeah?
Reverend Al's Blacksy Cab. Service in the Bronx and Harlem and certain parts of Brooklyn. Unlike you white cabs, Reverend Al's Blacksy Cab will not be crowned victorious.
No.
They are modified Bradley armored fighting vehicles. That's right. Where comfort abounds and they can take a few rounds. When you get in, you get a message of safety from Reverend Al.
Okay.
Welcome, buckle up, and put on your complimentary flak jacket. And remember, no shooting inside the vehicle due to ricochet. Thank you. Have a nice trip on Reverend Al Blackie Cab.
See, the white folks' cab is equipped with, what, ample trunk space. Your Reverend Al's cab? Twin 50-millimeter cannons with tracer rounds and Stinger anti-aircraft missile to clear the way to your destination. That's right. Reverend Al's Blacksy Cab, our motto, the engine's loud and the paint is faded, but sit back and relax, we're armor-plated. So I'll be bringing those into the community very shortly, if you send your donations to Reverend Al at the Apollo Theater in Harlem. Thank you. I am outraged.
All right, there he goes. Reverend Al, everyone.
Where's that southern hick bitch? Take your top off. I am outraged.
There he goes. Reverend Al.
Boy, he's angry. He's a little angry, Reverend Al.
I think he's more angry about the prude not getting top.
Well, who wouldn't be?
Okay.
That brings the races together, doesn't it?
It's good to know we can agree on something, right, Anthony?
Absolutely.
All right.